Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Many of you are putting off buying a new car. That means maintaining the one you have is even more important than ever. At AAMCO in Santa Cruz, I guarantee you'll get the best service in the county. We're not only a transmission center. We'll service and maintain your car to warranty specifications and offer free towing for major repairs from anywhere in Santa Cruz County. With AAMCO Santa Cruz, you not only have a guy, you've got a gal too. Me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Federal funds, your tax money, to pay for research into stem cells from human embryos. President Obama has lifted the ban on it, saying it's time. Researcher Robert Lanza agrees.
There are cells, for instance, that we have in the freezer that we can now use to help people. And in fact, starting today, we're in a position now to start applying for government grants to use our cells to treat a wide range of new human diseases.
New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith says it's wrong.
A decade ago, the false hope of embryo-destroying research made it very difficult to oppose. That is no longer the case. So the question arises, why persist in the dehumanizing of nascent human life when better alternatives exist?
This is Steve Futterman in Los Angeles. California stands to benefit from the president's action. The Golden State has funded stem cell research on its own since federal money was restricted in 2001. With federal funds now available, researchers here are expected to get some of the first grants. Governor Schwarzenegger said today, "We are believers in this revolutionary science." Other states that could benefit include New York and Illinois.
The Obama administration's auto task force members are visiting Chrysler and General Motors today.
This visit giving the task force an opportunity to see the changes the auto industry has made with their own eyes. Everything from electric cars to modern manufacturing. It will allow them to judge for themselves whether GM and Chrysler are viable. They'll take this information and help form it into a plan that will shape the future of America's auto industry.
That's WWJ's Jeff Gilbert. General Motors and Chrysler have asked for and received billions to prop them up, and they're asking for billions more.
It's a terrific thing for Ford, and I think it's a very good thing for the UAW.
Keith Crane at Automotive News Magazine talking about the new United Auto Workers Union contract with Ford. The deal freezes wages and cuts benefits, but it avoids bankruptcy and a federal bailout.
I don't think it's really a question of the hourly rate as much as it's a question of, is Ford going to have the products that people want to buy?
In recent weeks, the Ford Fusion Hybrid has beaten both Toyota's Prius and Honda's Insight in quality and performance tests done by two major auto magazines. The FBI is looking for other victims of the Stanford Financial Group and hopes people will get in touch with tips.fbi.gov to help plumb the depths of the alleged fraud by companies formed by R. Allen Stanford.
What we're doing is establishing a central repository for victim information, and we're asking, you know, potential victims to provide us their basic contact information and the amount of the investment or potential loss with the Stanford Financial Group.
That's Michael Anderson, special agent in charge of the FBI in Houston. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 80 points, NASDAQ down about 25 today. The family of composer Leonard Bernstein is donating some of his possessions to Indiana University Jacobs School of Music, including a conducting school that may have been used by Johann Brahms himself. This is CBS News.
Check this out.
Hello there. How are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I save so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has two tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. And it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
To go bar hopping in Utah, at least now, you have to jump through some loopholes.
Want to go out drinking in Utah?
Today, as you walk into a club, you basically have to sign a very invasive form. You have to pay a tariff to get into a nightclub.
Utah Governor John Huntsman.
We're the only state in America that does it that way. And so you begin to develop a reputation as a state that is closed for business.
And that argument finally winning long-sought changes, which should bring Utah more into line with the rest of the country.
You got to get to the 20th century before you enter the 21st century, but we're rapidly getting there.
Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Phish, the freeform band of the 90s, got back together this weekend in Hampton, Virginia. Police were paying attention. They arrested 194 fans during the three-night celebration and confiscated $1.2 million in illegal drugs and more than $68,000 in cash. These were cops hired by the band to keep a lid on things, and they did. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Get the goods up!
Hey, Mike Waltrip here. You know those makeover shows where they turn a dumpy-looking house into something really special? Well, we'd like to do the same thing with your hat. So stop into any participating Napa Auto Parts store, and with a purchase, turn one of your old hats into a 2009 Napa Racing hat. And while you're in there, why not pick up some incredible Napa parts and give your car a makeover as well? The Napa Hat Swap. Limit one per customer. Only good while supplies last.
Napa. Get the good stuff!
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's our debut evenings in Seattle on AM 1090.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the strip.
I am a little
in
to the left.
The outskirts and in the fringes, in the corner out of the grip.
Quite as lonely on the left as it was just a year ago. Thanks for joining us for this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. And my email works 24-7. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. As we mentioned, we've just gotten an upgrade, a promotion in Seattle, where our program's been heard on KPTK on the weekends for over a year. And we're now on 6 to 9 p.m. weekday evenings, and I'm very delighted to be on this Northwest powerhouse, AM 1090. And we are not actually live. This program was recorded just a couple of hours before it goes on the air in Seattle. But we are fresh, and we are accessible. So your best way to reach me is email. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. David K. Johnston will join me in just a moment. Later this hour, we're going to talk about high-speed rail. It came up in the debate over the so-called stimulus package as a Republican talking point. Yeah, Harry Reid snuck in billions for a high-speed rail terminal from Disneyland to the Cotton Bunny Ranch or something like that. That's a complete lie, by the way. But there are plans for high-speed rail here in California. The California taxpayers have put up some money. We're hoping to get some out of the stimulus bill. And the chair of the California High-Speed Rail Authority, one Quentin Kopp, will join me in about half an hour. Also on today's program, we take up another case of an underwater Peter B. Collins homeowner listener, and that's Michael and Lynn in Prunedale. They, like many others, contacted their bank, said, we're in trouble. The bank said, okay, take a couple of months off. We'll call it forbearance. You don't have to make any payments. And before they stopped making payments, they said, but won't this hurt my credit rating? They said, nope, we'll take care of that. But they didn't. And attorney Dennis Cavanaugh will join us. He has had this situation himself and gotten it corrected through the credit reporting agencies, and he'll walk us through that. Coming up next hour, we're going to take a look at the new Secretary of Interior, Ken Salazar's decision to delist from the endangered species list the gray wolf in two states, Montana, where we're on the air in Missoula, and also in Idaho. And so we're going to talk about that with Patty Goldman from Earth Justice. Your calls and comments are welcome. And in particular, I want to hear from some Montanans about what kind of threat the wolves pose to livestock and humans at this stage. Also on today's program, science trumps whatever they used in place of it during the Bush years, superstition. That's right. The president has lifted the ban on embryonic stem cell research. We'll have a representative from the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine. And also, Governor Don Siegelman returns to our program today with not great news. The appeals court in Atlanta ruled for him on a couple of issues, but against him on the most critical issue. The conviction is upheld for, his alleged corruption in office as the governor of Alabama. And we'll get his first-person reaction to the court ruling. That's coming up in our third hour today. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. David K. Johnston gets his start. He's a former reporter for the New York Times, left them about a year ago. Also reported for the San Jose Mercury and also the Los Angeles Times, Detroit Free Press, and the Philly Inquirer. He is the author, most recently, of Free Lunch, How the Wealthiest Americans Enrich Themselves at Government Expense and Stick You with the Bill. David, welcome back to the show today.
Well, thank you for having me on, Peter.
And I failed to mention your Pulitzer Prize from 2001.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure it's right up there on the shelf next to you.
Well, somewhere here in the house.
Somewhere, okay. I wanted to start off and get your comments on your former Times colleague on the op-ed page, Paul Krugman, the Nobel Prize-winning economist. And he has been fairly consistent in stating that he believes the Obama stimulus package and the various efforts working through the Fed and the Treasury are simply too small to have the desired impact on our economy. What is your take on the effort to stimulate the economy and whether this patient really can be revived with the efforts that are being used?
Well, I'm not in Paul's league. He's got a Nobel Prize, but I was actually saying this before he was, that what Obama needs to do is ask for more than he probably needs and then scale it back. He decided not to do this, and we're already seeing signs that this is not a large enough stimulus package. If you simply look at the numbers, and Krugman recounts them in this column and has done them in an earlier one, as to the shortfall we're going to have in state government revenues, which means if nothing else is done, police officers, school teachers, firefighters, nurses are going to be laid off, which then further adds to our difficulties. And the shortfall we're going to have in revenues because of the recession, the size of the package is probably less than half of what we need. And unfortunately, a lot of this is delayed spending. The fixing up of federal buildings, for instance, will mostly occur next year and the year after,
mm-hmm.
not right now.
Right. And he is chasing a real problem. I can't come up with the right metaphor here, but he pumped up his promise to try to create 3.5 million jobs, but the jobs are disappearing faster than any effort to generate new jobs or even protect the ones that exist today is on a very slippery slope.
Last year, jobs were destroyed at the rate of a little under 10,000 a day. In January, it was at almost 20,000 a day. I think we're going to find out in February and March that it will be higher than that, and it's going to be some time before we see the end of this because we're on the downside, and typically in a situation like this, we overcorrect on the downside. We've already seen the price of oil, you know, at one point was below $35 a barrel. It's now back up into the 40s, and the price was so low that if you had the cash to buy oil and a place to put it, you could have bought oil in the spot market at $35, hung on to it, and had a guaranteed profit by selling it in the future.
So as we're looking at this, the other critical issue is the health of our banks. They're stress testing the banks. That comes out of heart surgery, I think.
And we had one, I'll tell you, not a pleasant experience.
Yeah. So I am very pessimistic here because it strikes me that the banks are in worse shape than they have acknowledged, that some of the bailouts to the banks have been secret to try to prevent runs and a further lack of confidence. And I'm one of those people who just believes that ultimately we will have to have some form of nationalization. But there seems to be great fear of that word, while in concept, hey, we already own Citibank, don't we?
We do, and I don't think that's the problem, Peter. If you take all of the bad mortgages, the subprime mortgages, and a lot of people with good credit were put into those by brokers trying to collect extra big fees, and the Alt-A mortgages together, and you assume they're worth 50 cents on the dollar, the government is only at risk, if it's going to clean up this problem, of somewhere between $800 and $900 billion. We've already spent far more than that. The real problem, the one that Washington doesn't want to talk about, and the reason that they're reluctant to move against AIG and others, is these credit default swaps. The net worth of America before the collapse was in the range of $50 trillion. Well, the face value of all the credit default swaps was in the range of $50 trillion. That is, there was a great deal of over-insuring. And a credit default swap is simply, I loan some money to somebody. I'm not sure they're going to pay it back to me, so I go to you, Peter, and say, I'll give you a dollar, and you have to promise if this guy doesn't pay me the $10 or the $100 that he owes me, you've got to pay me that money.
Right.
It's an unregulated form of insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It's a disaster. Because it's unregulated, pricing had nothing to do with real risk, which was systemic risk. And that's what they're worried about, is that if they don't keep covering these credit default swaps, which is what they're doing with AIG, that it will trigger some collapse somewhere else. But we can't cover them. We can't pour the whole net worth of the country into this. And the unwillingness of the politicians to trust the bankruptcy system that has served us very well since the original Bankruptcy Act of 1800 is very disturbing. It tells you how far particularly the Republicans have gotten away from market economics in Washington.
Yeah. Well, and then we look at Detroit where we're, you know, probably going to throw more money at these companies. And in particular, General Motors, I think, is dead in the water. I hate to say that. I know a lot of people who depend on it and the parts chain that is part of the whole situation there. But I think that we need to accept that General Motors is not going to survive as is and let it go through the bankruptcy process, as painful as that is.
If we have a collapse of the domestic auto industry, and trouble as it is, and difficult as the time as they've had compared to their competitors, we really run a very big risk of falling into a depression. You know, we have created this economy in which 40% of corporate profits of recent years are from finance, and we now know that those were phony profits. They were created through financial engineering, not through real economic growth.
Yes.
And although the numbers have been pumped up by the advocates to say 1 in 10 or 1 in 7 workers are related to the auto industry, that's not true. It is an enormous part of our country, especially in the area from the Appalachians west to roughly St. Louis, and would have a devastating impact on our economy for that industry to end up either going away or severely contracting.
But can it be propped up? That's my point. I don't want it to go away, and particularly I care about the auto workers and some of the non-union workers who are downstream from there. But I feel that if it's inevitable, I'd rather face it and work through it than simply throw money at it and put Band-Aids on the problem.
Well, in that sense, I agree with you. And there are two things Congress could do that would improve the picture immediately for the auto industry. Number one is to get health care off the backs of employers and be like every other modern country in the world. Put health care on the cost of society. You know, we have socialized police, socialized prosecutors, socialized prisons, socialized roads, socialized parks. We need to recognize that having health care the way every other country does it is less costly and produces better outcomes. The second thing is to recognize that Congress made a huge mistake when it allowed the auto companies to not properly fund their pension plan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a 1974 law that set standards, and the companies, and in some cases the unions, went to Congress and said, please give us forbearances, we'll make it up later. Well, that didn't work. And so we need to, I think, just recognize that this was a huge social mistake. There's nothing to be done about it, and have Congress take over these pension plans. You do those two things instantly, the auto industry becomes competitive.
Right. David, we're going to take a break and return. David K. Johnston is our guest. His most recent book is Free Lunch, and he is so dangerous that there is now a David K. Johnston website called David K. Johnston Watch. We'll continue, and if you have a question or comment, join me now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Hamilton with some straight talk about sleep apnea. 20 million Americans suffer from it. It's a dangerous, life-threatening disorder that is often treated with the CPAP machine. However, only half the people prescribed CPAP use it regularly. Patients tell me they hate CPAP's noise, mask, and hose, so they don't use it. That decision could kill you. Here's what I recommend. Call Dr. Terry Forsberg at his Sleep Apnea Treatment Center, 831-685-3300. Dr. Forsberg and his dental team are recognized clinicians on providing alternatives to CPAP. Call Dr. Forsberg today, 831-685-3300, and online at montereybay.ihatecpap.com. Oral appliances are effective and can help save lives. If you suffer from sleep apnea or know someone who does, please, won't you call Dr. Terry Forsberg today, 831-685-3300. Dr. Terry Forsberg, rest assured, it's worth the trip.
Time to paint your house and protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey, reminds you to please drink responsibly. Finally, a new talk show on KRXA that we can all use. Sundays 11 to 12, Listen to Fix It Up, an hour-long call-in talk show with contractor Bruce Pippin and electrician Marie. With years of experience and lots of humor, they'll answer all your questions, from how to fix your leaky faucet to finding the right contractor. You'll find simple, easy solutions to all kinds of things that can break down in your home. Fix It Up with Bruce and Marie, Sundays 11 to 12. Email in your questions or call in. Only on AM 540, KRXA. Fix It Up.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 24 minutes after the hour. We're talking with David K. Johnston, former New York Times writer, journalist, Pulitzer Prize winner, and the author of Free Lunch. And we're joined by Mike from Aptos. Go right ahead, Mike. You're on the air. Hello, Mike. Going once, Mike. Okay. John in Carmel Valley. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
I don't think of this anymore at all as a recession. I have been thinking of it as a growing depression for a couple of months at least. But what I really am horrified by, besides just the titanic nature of the problems, in plural, that we face, is that we have this incredibly cowardly and incompetent Congress. And I don't think much more of Obama. I think he's horribly infected with their bad traits. Maybe not to the same degree, but close. And so it's like looking, worse than looking for a gallery of medical quacks to fix a medical problem. But the problem is, I don't think a quack in the medical profession is a coward. I don't think cowards inhabit the medical profession, but certainly a combination of gross incompetence and gross cowardliness is just permeating our government. So,
well, John, not at all to diminish what you – hold on, John. We'll keep talking. Not to diminish John's charge here, but we have problems all across the board where the SEC was not enforcing the law. Ask Harry Markopoulos. Where the Congress was not performing its oversight duties, and where essentially the corporate media, especially the business press, was cheerleading people to greater greed and profits, not really holding anybody accountable for the kind of phony flim-flam economics that were practiced. David?
Well, let me disagree a little bit with the caller and with you, Peter. You know, there's an old saying that it's a recession when somebody else is out of a job and a depression when you're out of a job. This is not yet a depression. It may not become one, but it could. A depression is defined as when you have 25% unemployment, and even by the broad measure, including people who quit looking for work, people who are in prison, people who could only find part-time work, we're not even up to 20% yet. We're in the mid-teens.
Right.
On the second issue, you know, there was an enormous amount of tough reporting warning people about these problems. If you read the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, the LA Times, the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Inquirer, there were lots and lots of stories that said government is pulling back, it is not enforcing the laws, there's a housing bubble. I wrote several stories in the New York Times, I think 5 or 6 years ago, pointing out that the price of housing was rising beyond any sustainable level. So in this case, no, people were warned. Now, if your model is CNBC and these other faux news programs, absolutely your charge is true. There was this glorification and even deification of the market and CEOs, and that's a real problem.
And John Stewart did a great job of skewering CNBC last week. If you haven't seen that clip, look it up. And Rick Santelli didn't come out of it very well. Now Mike is back from Aptos. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
To your guest, I have a question. As I have a degree in economics, so I understand some of this, probably more than the average American, and certainly more than a bunch more than the Congress people. But I don't understand why the credit default swaps are liable for so much wealth.
So much in liability. Because people are on the hook for it.
I mean, is that the insured?
Mike, it's a great question.
Okay, Mike, hold on.
Overhedged. People hedged and rehedged and rehedged because the people selling the hedges made money off of them. And this is totally unrealistic. There is no $50 trillion to be protected by default swaps, but you had the same instrument rehedged and rehedged and rehedged, which, by the way, when you pay the hedging fee, there goes your profits if you overhedge.
Okay, so they just kept selling it over and over again?
That's exactly right. It was a kind of churning,
and they got the fees, they kept the fees, they got the bonuses, they kept the bonuses, and now we're left holding the bag. Mike, thanks for your question. David, thank you for joining us. It's always great to talk with you.
Thank you.
David K. Johnston, pick up his most recent book called Free Lunch. Coming up next, we're going to talk about high-speed rail in California and across the country. Judge Quentin Kopp, the chair of the California High-Speed Rail Authority, will join me next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. By the time government agencies come out with monthly, quarterly, or annual statistics or revisions thereof, they don't really indicate what is. There's always a lag, and what they measure is what was. The bigger the lag, the less it tells you about what's happening right now. So the snapshot of gasoline prices at filling stations around the country, done by the Lundberg survey, is more current and more revealing than most. And right now, the U.S. average price per gallon of regular, as of yesterday, was $1.96.
At the low end, we have Cheyenne, Wyoming, $1.67. And at the high end, Honolulu, $2.38.
Survey published at Trilby Lundberg. What do those numbers tell us? Some insights after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. If you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away. Early detection, followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist, is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Hotels.com gives you a free night for every 10 nights you book. We're basically rewarding business travelers for doing what they already do. It's like giving you a blue ribbon for wearing a tie, a gold medal for shaving, and a lifetime achievement award for putting on pants. So, stay 10 nights in one hotel or one night in 10 different hotels. Any combination, and get a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com, the smarter way to book. Join online or call 1-800-2-HOTELS.
Some exclusions and restrictions apply. See site for details.
Gasoline prices rise and fall according to supply and demand, and they've been rising again, says Trilby Lundberg.
Since gasoline prices bottomed out in late December, we've had a 30-cent rise at the pump, but the rises have been smaller and smaller and smaller. The thing is, though, from here, they are likely to start shooting up.
Uh-oh, so here we go again? Not likely.
We can expect further price hikes at the pump, but probably not as much as last year, even if we did, which was 37 cents jump between this time of year and late April, we would still have a price discount of more than a dollar compared to what it was last April.
Of course, last summer, the price went crazy, I'm sure you remember. Crude was a part of that, but not now.
Crude oil prices will remain more or less where they are, around $45 a barrel. They are stronger and rise a bit more than that, perhaps. At the same time, gasoline demand moves into spring and summer modes from here. Plus, we're seeing a little demand growth compared to last year.
The high price contributed to the economic slowdown. And now?
The price rises that we have from here will still give us a deep discount of what we were paying at the pump a year ago, and probably that's enough to continue feeding some demand growth in the gasoline market.
Recovery's got to start somewhere. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Yeah.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
High-speed rail is a San Francisco value. Since the Obama stimulus package surfaced, with almost $8 billion for high-speed trains around the nation, there have been some phony talking points from Republicans that might have dimmed the hope that many Californians have for completing the projected high-speed rail line from San Francisco to Los Angeles. We're going to find out more. The Honorable Quentin Kopp joins us this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. He is currently chair of the California High-Speed Rail Authority. He is retired from the bench in San Mateo County. And before that, he served with distinction as a highly independent member of the California State Senate. And even way back there, he was a supervisor in San Francisco. He's been doing this a long time. Judge Quentin Kopp, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's great to hear those words, Peter B.
Well, and I failed to mention he's a recovering radio talk show host.
Yeah, that's right. There you are.
You used to hold down the fort on KGO on Sunday nights.
Sunday nights, 1982 to 1992.
Yeah, I always enjoyed listening to you and found out quite a bit about you and about what was going on in Sacramento at any given time.
I tried.
Yeah. Well, Quentin, you're now working on rail, and I think we should also add that there wouldn't be BART to San Francisco Airport if you hadn't fought for it so many years.
It was a tough fight. It shouldn't have been that difficult, Peter, but it was because of an intransigent airport general manager and because of the airlines obtain lower rates based upon higher income for people who park in the garages at the airport and other fees of concessionaires and the like. But it eventually was done, completed, mm-hmm. and it is a successful run.
It certainly is. And now you're taking on high-speed rail across the state. And I recall that we voted for some bond measures that have at least put a down payment on the projected cost of a high-speed line from San Francisco to Los Angeles. And as I mentioned in the introduction, high-speed rail got some unflattering publicity as it became a Republican talking point in the debate over the stimulus package. And it's interesting, there's a guy named Dick Spotswood who writes for the Marin Independent Journal. He went to Washington about 2 weeks ago and got an interview with Mary Bono. She's got a new name now. She remarried, but she's the congresswoman from Palm Springs. And she started spouting these talking points. And he said, but congresswoman, that's not true. It is in the bill. And she said, wait a minute. And she called a staff person in who had to sheepishly tell her, congresswoman, it's not in the bill. But the scurrilous point was that Republicans were saying that Harry Reid had inserted money so that there'd be a high-speed rail link from Disneyland to some brothel in Nevada. Which is pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, so, that's what you call urban myth, or maybe we ought to call it Washington myth. There is no such provision in the bill. As a matter of fact, hold your question 1 minute, but it's important to note that in 1994, an act of Congress was adopted which identified 11 high-speed rail routes through the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast, the Northwest part of the United States, Seattle to Portland, and of course, California, from Northern California to Southern California. Las Vegas to Anaheim or to Los Angeles is not one of those identified alignments. Mm-hmm. So it'll take a bit more legislative ledger domain for that project to qualify as a high-speed rail route, because it is not now a part of the statutes of Congress.
And in truth, the stimulus bill created a pool of money that is set aside for high-speed rail projects, but it's up to the new Republican Secretary of Transportation to dish out that money.
That is substantially correct with a couple of modifications. That $8 billion is exactly $8 billion. And number two, it's not only for high-speed rail, but also for what I commonly refer to as normal-speed rail. High-speed rail I define as rail which is capable of 220 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run a train at 220 miles per hour through the entire route, but you get averages of about 185 miles per hour in France. You get about 170 miles per hour in Japan, which is more densely populated. And indeed, the Secretary of Transportation, former Republican congressman from Illinois, Ray LaHood, will establish the criteria and then make the grants of the various applicants.
Mm-hmm.
The California High-Speed Rail Authority will be an applicant.
Now, the two bullet trains that I've been on, Quentin Kopp, are the Shinkansen in Japan and the channel route from Paris to London.
The Eurostar.
And both of those are really, they're fabulous. I mean, it is so delightful to get on a train, to be whisked along to your destination. And it kind of reminds me of going to the Indianapolis 500 because everything goes by so fast. But what prospects do we have? How do you see this playing out in California for the high-speed rail that's projected from San Francisco to L.A.?
It's more than San Francisco to L.A. It's much more than that. The entire project is almost 800 miles. On the south, it's San Diego to all the way to Sacramento on the north. The first phase, which was established by the board a year and a half ago at its July 2007 meeting, is from San Francisco to Anaheim,
mm-hmm.
through San Jose, over the Pacheco Pass to Merced, then down the Central Valley, hugging the Route 99 alignment as closely as possible to Fresno, to Bakersfield, through the Tehachapi Mountains to Palmdale in the northeast corner of Los Angeles County, then to Union Station downtown. And then 20 minutes later, you'll be in Anaheim if your trip is San Francisco to Anaheim.
I see.
San Francisco to Los Angeles, it'll be 2 hours, 38 minutes. By statute, it has to be under 2 hours, 40 minutes. That's mm-hmm. the law. And as I said, it's another 20 minutes to Anaheim. The voters, as you point out, Peter B., last November approved a bond issue of $9.95 billion, of which $9 billion is the financial foundation for the entire system. $950 million of that bond will be allocated to regional rail transit entities such as BART, in the Bay Area, ACE, Alameda Corridor Express in the Bay Area, Metrolink in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. And other counties in the Los Angeles basin for the purpose of connecting to the high-speed rail alignment in a convenient way. The estimated cost of Phase 1, San Francisco to Anaheim, is $32 billion. And the financial plan, which was adopted both in 2000 and then was issued again on November 7th of 2008, calls for $2 to $3 billion from local and regional sources, both public and private, $12 to $16 billion in federal grants, and $6.5 billion to $7.5 billion from private capital investors.
Mm-hmm.
And the estimated construction start time is 2011, maybe completion of one section or another. There are 8 sections within that first phase from San Francisco to Anaheim. Completion of one or two segments, so they can open for revenue service by the year 2014 or 2015. The entire first phase, again, San Francisco to Anaheim to be completed between 2018 and 2020. Mm-hmm. And then the second phase is going from L.A. to San Diego through the Inland Empire with a station at Ontario for the Ontario Airport connection there, then to the city of Riverside, then to Murrieta in Riverside County, and then into San Diego County. And on the north from Merced to Modesto to Stockton and then to Sacramento, and that's got a construction period of about 5 to 7 years, estimated cost between $12 and $15 billion.
And what kind of job creation do you project from these various rail projects, the different phases and the interconnects that have to be built?
It's not me projecting, it's consultants who have developed both the financial plan and the project management firm, Parsons Brinckerhoff. And the estimate is that first phase will create about 150,000 to 160,000 construction-related jobs. It's further estimated that upon completion, the entire system will generate about 327,000 new permanent jobs.
And what do you project will be the cost of, say, a one-way from San Francisco to Anaheim?
Right now, the cost of a ticket from San Francisco to Los Angeles will be $55 one way.
Wow.
Add to that, of course, the consumer price index rate of inflation, let's say between now and 2018. If we keep it to 3%, then you can calculate accordingly. I've forgotten the cost of a ticket from L.A. to Anaheim, but I'm going to estimate it would be about $10 to $12.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And Quentin Kopp, as you see these plans developing and then starting to activate them, is there an element of risk here where we really have to lay down the infrastructure, beef up rail lines in some cases, build new ones in others? Is there a risk that we could get pretty far into it and then run out of money and have a huge white elephant up and down the state?
I don't think there's any risk. Last September, the governor signed a bill which we worked on hard, and that bill has several financial and cost structures in it. For example, we cannot begin construction of any section on any phase. And a typical section is San Francisco to San Jose. Another section is San Jose to Merced. Another section is Merced to Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot begin construction until there's a certification by the state director of finance and based upon a finding by the chairman or chairwoman of the Joint Legislative Budget Committee that sufficient money has been identified and is available to complete the building of that section. You can't start even a section, say, of 60 miles between San Francisco and San Jose or Gilroy without having all the money that's needed to complete that section. The estimated cost of that section, incidentally, is about $4.2 billion.
And is that upgrading the existing track, or is it a brand-new line?
It is new track, same right-of-way that's used by Caltrain now. Mm-hmm. But don't forget, we are an electrically-powered system. That's why there's so many environmental benefits to the system operation. And that means that we have special tracks, never used before in the United States, but used in seven European nations, including the two that you mentioned, the Eurostar, and then in four Asian nations, including the Shinkansen in Japan, which opened for revenue service in 1964 in time for the International Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, no more than 50% of the money for any section can come from state funds, namely the bond proceeds,
okay,
as such.
Quentin, we need to take a break, so please stand by, and we'll pick up in just a moment with Judge Quentin Kopp. He is chair of the California High-Speed Rail Authority. And if you have a question or comment, you should bring it on right now. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
This Tuesday, March 10th, Cynthia McKinney, the 2008 Green Party candidate for president, will be speaking at Monterey Peninsula College. Cynthia McKinney was the first black congresswoman elected in Georgia. She has fought for many progressive issues in Congress, including an end to corporate dominance, a reduction in military budgets, and in favor of voters' rights, the environment, and economic justice. Cynthia McKinney took on the corrupt Bush administration when others in Congress were complacent. She has Green Party values and follows in the footsteps of Ralph Nader and David Cobb. Hear Cynthia McKinney speak at 1 p.m. March 10th at Monterey Peninsula College, lecture forum number 103. For more information, contact Julie Osborne at 831-646-4192. That's 646-4192. Again, Cynthia McKinney, 1 p.m., Monterey Peninsula College, Tuesday, March 10th. Call 646-4192.
John McCain has told us we may need to be in Iraq for over 100 years.
I think it's just great that we've got a Republican with a withdrawal timetable.
I guess... And he says we can't pull our troops out of Iraq because if our troops come home, the terrorists are going to follow them. Apparently, the terrorists don't know where the United States is. At least the war is going well against the environment. And it's so important to us in Santa Cruz because 21 feet sea level rise, well, you figure it out. I won't be living in Seabright.
I'm staying. I'm not going out here.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Get ready for high-speed rail in California, only about 8 or 9 years away. We're talking to the chair of the High-Speed Rail Authority, Quentin Kopp, former legislator and Superior Court judge, now focused on developing this high-speed rail system in California. Quentin, in the first segment, you did make a reference to plans for a high-speed link between Seattle and Portland. And I don't know how much you know about that, but we're on the air in Seattle now in the evenings, and I just thought I'd ask if you know what the status of that proposed link is.
Unfortunately, I don't. I've heard nothing about any activity between Seattle and Portland. I know about Texas. I know about Florida. I know New York State is now talking about Albany to Buffalo. I know Michigan talking about Detroit to Ann Arbor. I know Illinois and Missouri talking about Chicago to St. Louis and Atlanta, and some of the other southeastern states are talking about implementing high-speed rail. Of course, they're all in the talking stage, but It puzzles me. I haven't heard anything about Seattle. And
all right. Well, let me put it out to our Seattle listeners. If you could email me with an update on that, I'd like to know the status. Send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. Now, Quentin, without getting too detailed here about the local problems in San Francisco, let's just explain for people outside the area that there are plans under construction for a Transbay terminal, which does not include adequate space or infrastructure for the high-speed rail once it does get built up through Silicon Valley. And there's a critical link to get across town from the current 4th and Townsend station to the Transbay Terminal. So these are adding up into some pretty serious and very expensive snags for that plan.
Well, I don't think it's serious. The distance between the Caltrain station at 4th and King Streets near the baseball park,
right,
and 1st and Mission Streets, the location of the so-called Transbay Terminal, is about 1.3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a movement of businesses and residential units in the direction of 4th and King Streets. So the Transbay Terminal is our preferred station site, mm-hmm, no question.
But isn't that a real costly 1.3 miles?
Pardon me? Yeah, that's what it is, 1.3 miles.
But it would be very costly to
the estimated
rip
cost
up the streets.
Now is about $2.8 billion, I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
The terminal site itself, of course, is subject to engineering, and it's difficult engineering. And evidently, the engineering that was presented both to Caltrain and to the High Speed Rail Authority demonstrated it wasn't adequate to accommodate 12 trains an hour in peak hours, meaning between 7 and 10 in the morning and 4 and 7 o'clock in the evening. So it has to be redesigned, and that may affect the cost. And that's to be determined yet. But don't forget, we're not starting construction for at least 2 years, so I'm sure that that'll be resolved. And again, our preferred location would be 1st and Mission Streets,
mm-hmm,
but if that can't be done, then we'll design 4th and King Street accordingly.
Okay. And what are some of the other things that you need to work through here in terms of either local barriers or funding issues to really bring this project home?
Well, funding is probably the largest responsibility and the largest problem, raising the money. Fortunately, President Obama has already enunciated that his aim is to have his transportation legacy reflected in the creation of high-speed rail throughout the United States. Secretary of Transportation, incidentally, will be in California in early April to examine not just our project, but other transportation projects as well. So that's our number one task now.
But what about the problems that California is having with its own budget and raising money? Most of yours is coming from bonds, so that's not affected by general fund issues.
Yeah, the general fund now won't affect us to the extent that has up until the present time, because up until now, the money, for example, for the program EIR, EIS, which was certified back in 2007, and for some minor staff, we're probably the smallest agency in the state of California's governmental structure with only about 6.5 employees. That money came from the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore. We've got to get a portion of our general obligation $9 billion bond sold by the Treasurer of California. He's delayed selling any California bonds because our credit rating sunk to the lowest of all the states.
That's right.
But because of our inability to present any bond buyer a balanced annual budget, and that was resolved last month by the legislature and governor in enacting a revised and balanced budget act for 2008-2009.
Now, you've been watching these budgets for a long time, Quentin Kopp. Don't you think this is the wobbliest budget we've ever seen? And do you think it'll even make it to the special election in May?
Well, I'd rather not answer the question, if you don't mind, just to be a little bit diplomatic in my older age.
Oh, my. What a change.
Yeah. But we're concentrating on the federal money that's reflected in that $8 billion appropriation in the government stimulus bill the President of the United States signed on February 17th.
Mm-hmm.
In the $5 billion over 5 years he's recommended as part of the next federal budget for the year fiscal year 2009-2010. The Surface Transportation Act, which covers a 5-year period, expires September 30th of this year. The Congress will have to renew it during this congressional session. I have indications that people like Senators Kerry and Specter want to include $15 billion or thereabouts for high-speed rail. There's already...
Quentin, I'm sorry. I'm out of time. This train is about to reach the station. Great to talk with you, Judge Cox.
Well, thanks, Peter.
And I appreciate what you're doing for high-speed rail. That's quite a legacy. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy 2 bottles, you get 1 bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/P.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
With a stroke of his pen,
we will lift the ban on federal funding for promising embryonic stem cell research.
But obstacles and moral objections remain.
It is science that tells us that the human embryo is one of us, is a living member of the human species.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Excited supporters of stem cell research gathered today for a White House ceremony where President Obama reversed the policy of the past 8 years. The story from CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
The president said he respects those who feel it's morally wrong to destroy embryos to obtain stem cells, but...
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering.
And he said we've been given the capacity to do this research responsibly. In the audience in the White House, scientists, one congressman who's paralyzed, and other campaigners for stem cell research. Mr. Obama said he's sorry that actor Christopher Reeve and his wife Dana didn't live to see this day. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Stem cell research is promising but far from proven, and while Mr. Obama's action will free up federal funds, it does nothing about a law passed by Congress in 1995 banning research that creates or destroys embryos. Many conservatives believe harvesting stem cells from embryos is tantamount to abortion.
Today's executive order is a sad victory of politics over science and ethics.
Richard Dorfling of the Conference of Catholic Bishops. On the very same day the president acted, the University of Michigan announced that state's first major embryonic stem cell research program. Neurologist Eva Feldman is part of it.
It's very, very serendipitous. If I was a gambling person, I think I'd go play the lotto today.
She'll work on turning stem cell lines into nerve cells. Now this.
Marcia, what's with the grin?
I got great news at my savings checkup.
Your what?
The savings checkup I took at the Sam's Club Pharmacy. I found amazing prices on my monthly prescriptions, and I discovered that members saved as much as 28% last year on select over-the-counter medications. Plus, Sam's Club takes most insurance, and pharmacy staff are available for questions.
Wow, I've got to check that out. Discover your prescription for terrific value. Visit your Sam's Club Pharmacy Friday and Saturday to take the savings checkup. For more information, go to samsclub.com/yourhealth.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. And it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
The Oracle of Omaha spoke today. Billionaire investor Warren Buffett on CNBC gave his views on the economy.
It's fallen off a cliff, and not only has the economy slowed down a lot, people have really changed their behavior.
But despite that gloomy assessment, Buffett predicted things will be fine 5 years from now. He expressed confidence in President Obama to lead us through this crisis. The change in behavior he talked about is illustrated by a report today on consumer credit. Delinquencies fell in the fourth quarter, and credit card users added less than 2% to their balances during the holiday shopping season. But TransUnion's Ezra Becker warns the trend might not last.
You can use your credit card to bridge the gap from paycheck to paycheck. And certainly as more consumers become unemployed, there's increasing reliance on those credit cards to make it through these tougher times.
Tough times on Wall Street. The Dow lost another 80 points today, closing at 65.47. Mark Petrie of Hokanson Capital Management says it's a buyer's market, but there are no buyers.
Stocks look historically cheap. Dividend yields are attractive. There's some high-quality companies on sale. But it requires a long-term time horizon, and nobody is really willing to look out that far right now.
Members of the United Auto Workers have approved contract concessions at Ford, a wage freeze and benefit cuts.
It's a terrific thing for Ford, and I think it's a very good thing for the UAW.
Keith Crane of Automotive News says the deal sets the pattern for similar concessions at Chrysler and General Motors. Members of the Obama administration's auto industry task force spent the day touring GM and Chrysler facilities. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ has details.
The visit, heavy on technology, aimed at showing members of the task force that the auto industry has shed its Rust Belt feel.
One of the misperceptions that's held about the auto industry is it's a low-tech industry, that's furthest from the truth.
Mike Marshall studies emerging technology for J.D. Power & Associates. The task force wants to have its report together by the end of this month. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Sign of the times, a junior high school in Ohio advertising for a janitor has gotten nearly 700 applications. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Check this out.
Hello there. How are you doing? Have you met my friend Bill yet?
Why is there some guy on the back of your bike winking at me?
Oh, that's my wingman. I save so much money on motorcycle insurance by switching to Geico. I rented a wingman.
He has two tickets to paradise and needs a travel companion.
Hey, he is good.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business.
Oh, yeah.
Geico Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. And it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Later this hour, we're going to talk about Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar's decision to delist the gray wolf from the endangered species list, particularly in Montana and Idaho. But first, we continue our quest to assist underwater homeowners who listen to the Peter B. Collins Show. Last week, I received a whole stack of emails from listeners who responded to my request for information about their status as underwater, meaning Their mortgage is more than the value of their home and their equity in it. And I was really touched by the large number of responses and by the two individuals, Dr. Jim and Natalie, who came on the program on Friday to describe their situations. We were unable to get their lenders on the program, but we did get help from a real estate specialist in Sacramento, Vicky's name in front of me. She received dozens of responses. And so we know that there is a real problem and that there's a disconnect between the borrowers who are approaching their lenders and trying to restructure loans or operate under the new plans for rewriting these loans that's been put forth by the Obama administration. And as I mentioned in the program last week and on Friday as well, one of the things that really bothered me was the consistent reporting from people who said, before I hit the wall, I went to my bank and I asked for help. And they said, okay, we're going to help you. We're going to go into a period of forbearance. And what that means is you either pay a reduced amount or you don't have to pay on your mortgage at all while we try to resolve the problems. And what sickened me is how many people told that story and said, we did what the bank said, and then our credit rating got badly damaged as a result. Well, Michael and Lynn bought a house in Prunedale a few years ago, and Michael joins us on the line right now. Michael, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to be able to help you. I wish I were T. Boone Pickens or something, and I could just write checks to all of my listeners who have hit these kinds of problems. But I want to focus on the issue that you raised, which is you contacted Washington Mutual last year, and you said you don't want to default on the mortgage. You want to try to work something out. And they told you not to pay your mortgage for a while, 2 months. They said you've got forbearance. And what did you do to examine them to make sure that they wouldn't hurt your credit rating? Did you get anything in writing? Did you get assurances from them?
We were given assurances during the conversation that we had on the phone, Peter. This was last August.
Mm-hmm.
We got we contacted a representative in the modification department at Washington Mutual who said she could, in fact, help us and would do everything in her power to help us. And what she said was that there would be this period of forbearance for 2 months. She said that we were to make no payments during this time and that the billing on the accounts, the mortgage accounts, would stop to reflect this forbearance period.
Mm-hmm.
That was correct, okay? We didn't get a statement from the bank during this period. We were to have received up to two offers. If we examined the first offer and it was not acceptable, we could send it back and request a second and final offer,
mm-hmm.
Okay? During this two-month forbearance period, we were told to not make payments, and I specifically asked the representative, look, what about our credit? At that time, Peter, we had been making our payments diligently and on time. We were not in default. We were 100% current, okay?
Mm-hmm. And what was your credit score at that time, Michael?
I'm going to say low sevens.
Okay.
But at this juncture last summer, we were doing okay, considering what all's been going on.
Okay.
All right. Now, after having been given her assurance once, I ended the phone call by saying again, and this isn't going to hurt our credit, right? And now, we asked if we could record the call. She said, you can't record me, but I'm recording it, and you can take documentation. My name is such and such. Here's where I work. Here's the phone. You know, so we documented date, time.
That's kind of choice. That's kind of choice that she can record you and you can't record her.
If you tell the bank that you're going to record them,
yeah,
they say, do not record me. You do not have permission to record me, and they get real nasty about it.
Wow. Okay. All right, Michael, hold there because I want to introduce Denny Cavanaugh. Dennis Cavanaugh is an attorney, retired, and he does pro bono work on the staff of San Francisco's Channel 7. It's called 7 on Your Side. And they do consumer work on behalf of television viewers who send them information. Denny, welcome to the program today.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Thanks for emailing me after you heard our discussion last week and offering to exchange your knowledge here for the update on Michael's situation. So, Denny, take it away here. You told me before we went on the air that you had a similar situation where you were told by your bank that you should stop payments while you were refinancing, and then you noticed that your credit score had dropped almost 100 points.
Yes, Peter, the situation, I wasn't, my wife and I were not exactly in the situation that your caller is, but the first step that your caller should make is, and I'll call him the debtor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name's Michael. We're just using
Michael,
his first name.
Okay. Uh-huh. Michael, he has the name and telephone number and the of the person at the bank who made the representation that he could go into forbearance for several months and his credit rating would not be affected. I think once he discovered that his credit rating was getting dinged with the negative information, apparently that was coming from the billing department, from the bank, and so it looks like the bank and the forbearance people, the billing department and the forbearance people were not in communication about the situation where payments were stopped for 2 months and that the credit wouldn't be affected. Mm-hmm. So what the first thing that Michael should do is, and he probably already has and ran into a wall, but the first thing he should do is talk to the woman who made the representations at the bank that he could forbear for several months and not have his credit dinged. So
here's what happens when we try to contact that particular woman.
Uh-huh.
We're asked for her extension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Her extension was changed
mm-hmm.
within 2 weeks after we got this forbearance initiated.
Mm-hmm.
She's dropped off the map.
Okay.
We've gotten subsequent communications from Washington Mutual telling us that it never happened.
Okay.
This is a really infuriating aspect. I was even told by one of these auto dialer collector guys
mm-hmm.
that I was just stalling by saying that over and over again. And in fact, we have been saying it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
We have written registered letters to them demanding an explanation and a repair of the damage credit. They just dodge us and act like it didn't happen. They have said, there's no validity to your claim that you were in forbearance, you're late, you owe the money, pay up.
Okay,
you know?
Here, Michael, here's the next step I would ask you to take, is send a written letter, snail mail, to the current CEO president of Washington. Is it Washington Mutual?
It's right. Now J.P. Morgan Chase.
Okay, that would be J.P. Morgan back in New York. Go on the home page for J.P. Morgan Chase
mm-hmm.
and fire off a letter to the CEO and president. It may
mm-hmm.
be two separate individuals, one CEO and one's president,
mm-hmm.
and indicate in snail mail in writing that this is your situation. These representations were made to you, and they've been changed and are denied. And send it return receipt request. And give the CEOs about 10 business days to rectify it. And if that doesn't work, I would suggest that you go. Your next step would be go into small claims court and name J.P. Morgan Chase as a defendant in small claims court to reform. In small claims court, you can get equity. That means you're not asking for necessarily monetary damages, but you're asking the bank to do what their representative represented to you back several months ago, and that is to allow you to have the forbearance for 2 months and not get your credit dinged.
Okay.
And so that would be the step that I would recommend.
All right, and then Denny, he wins a judgment because WAMU doesn't send anybody to small claims court, so he wins a default judgment. Where does he take that?
The judgment would read that the bank is entitled to enjoined by court order to rectify what happened,
mm-hmm.
and I would assume that the bank legal people and the executives would do what they're supposed to do under a court order.
Okay.
And if that didn't work, then he should probably take it to an attorney that. Armed with a court order that the bank is not obeying, that he would be in good shape to get further action through the courts.
All right, that's Denny Cavanaugh. Also with us is our listener Michael from Prunedale, who is underwater, and his bank said, we're working this out. You can take 2 months off And then that woman went away, and the bank now says that he's just dilly-dallying and should pay up. Michael, can you stay with us for another segment?
Yes, I would love to. Thank
you very
much.
All right, we'll air this out a little bit further. And if you have a comment or you've been through this and you'd like to join us, lines are available for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Denny, can you stay with us?
Yes, I'll stay on.
Okay, great. We'll continue and air this out a little more, and you can join us too, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Slow down. Got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barb from Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
What you know when I've come to
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Good afternoon. This is Mrs. Sunshine with your KRXA traffic and weather report. In Hollister, Gilroy, there's a traffic accident on Route 156. At Route 25, an ambulance is responding and CHP is on the scene. Continuing in Hollister-Gilroy, an accident at Route 152 at Fraser Lake Road and an accident on Cienega Road just east of Union Road. In Monterey, an accident on southbound Route 1 just north of Reservation Road. CHP is on the scene.
End. I'm Billy Sunshine with your KRXA 540 weather. Well, it's sunshine out there. What do you expect? Sunshine today, sunshine tomorrow. Tonight, it will go down to the 30s, so bundle up. And stick around for Peter B. Collins.
Thank you.
time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue to look at the plight of our listeners whose homes are underwater and they're fighting to stay in their homes, avoid foreclosure, work a loan modification on the mortgage. And we're talking with Michael, a listener from Prunedale, and my friend Denny Cavanaugh, who is an attorney and works with San Francisco ABC 7 at the 7 on Your Side consumer feature there. And, Michael, as you look at this situation, it appears that you've been deceived by your lender and that you could ultimately lose your home as a result of this. Just give me a sense here. Do you have options in terms of trying to restructure the loan or otherwise stay in your home if the bank would just deal with you in a straightforward and honest manner?
All right, here's the lowdown, Peter. I'm going to try to make this as succinct as I can because it's an awfully long story. But we approached Washington Mutual 2 months before our loan was scheduled to adjust. This is our loan. Our rates were scheduled to adjust on our adjustable rate mortgage last August.
Right.
In June, we went into our local Monterey branch of WAMU to talk to our loan officer at our home branch, which, by the way, we've been banking customers there since before it was Washington Mutual.
Sure.
It was Home Savings, and then it was Coast Federal. We've been there since day one, nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
Same building, okay? You know, we tried to get our loan modified months before it was scheduled to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, it was so far underwater that there was no hope for a refi, okay?
Yeah.
And the poor guy at WAMU, you know, I mean, he eventually stopped returning our calls because he couldn't get an answer from his upstairs. We were calling him every other day to go, what's going on? You know, the clock is ticking. They're going to adjust our rates. We're already having difficulties with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to understand, Peter. And Denny, thank you so much for having the time to talk to me about this stuff. You know, when we bought our house, we bought at $640,000, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, business is good. We're contractors. We're self-employed. We're in the construction business. We were doing fine. Okay, we put up a lot of documentation to get a pretty bad loan, you know, and that combined with the fact that the property devalued so much over the last 3 years,
yeah,
you know, we really put us against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at our subprime rates getting ready to adjust. The property value is declining every day, and we're telling the bank, this is last June, why don't we do something like this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The house isn't worth what we paid for it by hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And today, our house is worth $300,000, okay? We had it appraised last month.
And, of course, if the bank took it back, they couldn't get any more out of it than you could. So it's a lose-lose proposition. Listen, in the interest of time, Michael, let me stop you there and see if Denny has any other advice for you. Denny, go ahead.
One other thing, Michael, you should do is, again, snail mail, put it in writing to the three credit reporting agencies contesting or disputing those dings that the bank put on your credit reports.
Yeah, you need to, that's a very good point.
The credit agencies have an obligation under federal law to investigate that for a period of 30 days with the bank, and if the bank doesn't respond, it would come off your credit report. Presumably they will respond, but at least you'll take that step.
Yeah.
Well, you know, since this initially happened, we've made a tactical decision because the bank has been so terrible to us. To Lynn
mm-hmm.
and I, we've been through a real grinder with them.
Yeah.
A lot of lies, a lot of deception, a lot of BS, okay? After they dinked the credit, all right, this is back in October. And by the way, it was 60 calendar days to the day from the time we were told to not make a payment.
Sure, no
that
forbearance there.
That popped up that we were 60 days late on both mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Killed the scores from 7 down to high 4s and low 5s.
I know, it just kills it.
It kills it. Anyway, you know, we made a tactical decision last October after our credit was already destroyed, after the bank had not sent one offer, okay, and destroyed our credit instead of sending us an offer, and then this TARP money vanishes, okay? There was supposed to be money earmarked to help people.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows where that first $700 billion is, you know?
No, you're right.
We just got fed up.
Yeah.
We have not made a payment, okay, since that time.
Now, Michael, the one other strategy, and I don't have time to go into detail, but you probably heard about this, demand that they produce the original mortgage contract.
Oh, yes.
Before you accept any offer to move out, okay?
No, we're not going anywhere, Peter. And, you know, as a matter of fact, we'll have another conversation. But if it gets that ugly, and we would hope to God that doesn't happen, we want to keep our home, okay? Mm-hmm. But if they push and they keep shoving the way they are, Lynn and I are going to have 100 people, which is about as many as we can fit on our little acre here, who have lost their homes. Come and camp with us.
All right. I wish you the best. I want to jump. Michael, thank you for participating. I wish you all the best. I hope this is helpful. I want to jump to Hal in Monterey because he's got a point he wanted to make. Go ahead, Hal.
Yeah, Peter, I think this is a shot at a class action lawsuit. I mean, it sounds like this is clearly a pattern and practice of, I don't know if I'd quite call it fraud. Well, it is fraudulent. I mean, they're telling people to not pay, and then they're being punished for following the bank's direction. I'd like to see a class action suit because to ask each individual to bring a case in small claims court, it's time-consuming. It's not necessarily that costly, but it's definitely a burden.
Yeah, Denny, what do you think about that?
Well, class actions are difficult and expensive for the plaintiff's attorneys to handle. But go on Google and put in class action, and there'll be a number of references to attorneys that do handle class action matters. The thing I was pushing with small claims court is you can get in there within 30 days, and there's no attorneys involved. Mm-hmm. You can represent yourself, and the bank cannot send in a lawyer.
Right. Gentlemen, I'm out of time, but I want to thank you very much. Hal, appreciate the call. And, Denny, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate you getting in touch.
Okay, Peter.
That's Denny Cavanaugh here on the Peter B. Collins Show. From underwater mortgages, we turn to gray wolves next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Who lost the instructions? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Here it is, Barbie's 50th birthday. 50 years ago today, the first Barbie doll was introduced. A reminder of a time when life was simpler. Everybody was shopping normally. A girl's job was to grow up to look good in a zebra swimsuit. Barbie, of course, changed with the times, becoming an astronaut, a surgeon, even a NASCAR driver, so that our children would get the message that they can do anything. Unfortunately, there's one job Barbie has never held. Barbie has never been an economist. In fact, 16 years ago, Teen Talk Barbie got into trouble for saying, "Math class is tough," about every fourth time you pulled her string. I'm beginning to think that the one person who could have fixed the banks was given Teen Talk Barbie as a kid and gave up on math. Because here we are, the world's greatest capitalist nation, and we just can't figure out how capitalism works anymore. It's like we lost the instructions. Nobody seems to know how to put this thing back together. Heck, we can't even agree whether it's capitalism or socialism. The president himself had to call up the New York Times to make it clear where he stands.
We've actually been operating in a way that is entirely consistent with free market principles. The same folks who are throwing the word socialist around can't say the same.
And you see, that's what our kids need to hear. In fact, Mattel needs to issue capitalist Barbie so little girls can dress her in form-fitting business suits and send her out to make loans and buy stock. Because until that happens, I'm afraid Teen Barbie is right. The math is tough. Now this.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I design and sell my very own line of baby clothes. When I started my business, I knew how to make the baby clothes, but I didn't really know the business side of things. And it became very clear that I needed help. So I'd heard about Intuit QuickBooks, you know, that small business software, and thought, that's just what I need. Then I saw I could try it for free, and you know what? It's been great, totally easy to use, and it's helped me avoid a lot of growing pains.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it for free at QuickBooks.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests, and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
You are invited to an important free community event in Monterey on Wednesday evening, March 25th. Our world faces many grave challenges: the current economic crisis, climate change, global poverty, and stockpiles of nuclear weapons. The United Nations Association presents New Prospects for Nuclear Disarmament, featuring two world-class speakers. Dr. William Potter directs the Monterey Institute of International Studies Center for Nonproliferation. Dr. Patricia Lewis is the center's new deputy director, a policy expert, and a nuclear physicist. For 10 years, she ran the UN's Institute for Disarmament Research. They will discuss the current state of global disarmament efforts and new prospects under the Obama administration. This event is Wednesday, March 25th at 7 p.m. in the Irvine Auditorium of the Monterey Institute, Pierce at Jefferson Streets in Monterey. Admission is free, no reservations, but come early for a seat. This is a United Nations Association event hosted by the Center for Nonproliferation Studies. For more, go to unamontereybay.org.
Attention all Free Thought Radio lovers. Dan Barker and Annie Lori Gaylor can still be heard every weekend on KRXA 540. Tune in at 5 p.m. Saturdays for Free Thought Radio.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and a shout-out to our new evening listeners in Seattle. That's right, we got an upgrade. Our show's been on the weekends, and now we're Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. on AM 1090 KPTK. Welcome. Hold on to your hat. Hold on to your helmet. Late last week, the new Secretary of Interior, former Democratic Senator from Colorado, Ken Salazar, issued an announcement that has surprised some environmentalists. He has delisted from the endangered species list the gray wolf, in particular in Montana and Idaho. And during this half hour, I welcome calls from our listeners in Big Sky Country because you know the landscape, you know how many wolves there are, and you know if they're a problem for your livestock or for human safety. And I would like to hear any point of view on this issue. You're welcome to join us. Lines are open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Joining us to talk about this is Patty Goldman. She's Vice President for Litigation at Earth Justice, and their website has a lot of great information at earthjustice.org. And she's based right there in Seattle. Welcome, Patty.
I'm glad to hear you're going to be here more often.
Well, we're delighted, too, and you can listen to this on your way home tonight.
All right.
That's how it works in the magic of radio.
Mm-hmm.
So, Patty, give us a little background here on the history of the listing of the gray wolf as an endangered species. How far back does this go, and how decimated were the populations of gray wolves in the Rockies?
Well, wolves are one of the first species to be listed under the Endangered Species Act, and the story goes way back. Think of Little Red Riding Hood and all of the hunting and trapping and poisoning of gray wolves that has occurred over time. They then were reintroduced into Yellowstone in the 1990s, and it's been one of the great success stories of a reintroduction program. So they have settled there, and there are reproducing populations, and we would love for it to become the true recovery story of our time. Unfortunately, there's been a push to deny the gray wolf the protections of the Endangered Species Act too soon, before they are really at the time of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we saw pushed through in the Bush administration, and unfortunately now Secretary Salazar has made the decision to delist the wolf, basically adopting the Bush proposal.
And what's motivating this? He's a rancher from Colorado, and I find him to be a pretty conservative Democrat. I criticized him for some of his votes when he was in the U.S. Senate, but I really don't have a sense of him in terms of his relationship with environmental values.
Well, we don't know. You know, some of his first steps have been to return science to some of the decisions. He canceled the leases in Utah that were along beautiful national parks like Arches and Canyonlands. So he did some very good things, I think, for the environment early on. We had been hopeful when this wolf delisting had been suspended right after the inauguration that he would take a look and he would see how unprecedented it is to split a listing and list the wolves in some states but not others, and how contrary to the science it is to say they're at the point where we can now allow wolf hunts that will decimate these populations. I mean, if you think about it, the problem for wolves has been people want to kill them. And then there's this rush to deny the protections of a federal law so the states can allow people to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that we're going to be in trouble.
Now, the Salazar move here is confusing to me because he cited that there's a total population nationally now of more than 5,500 gray wolves and 1,600 located in the Rockies. Now, the Rockies is a big area. And to my knowledge, wolves really don't know the difference between whether they're in, Montana or Idaho. They don't really honor the boundaries that humans have drawn on the map. But this delisting allows Montana and Idaho to assume complete management of the animal, which will include a hunting season in each of those states. And it also delists wolves in the western Great Lakes, I take that to be Minnesota and Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and parts of Oregon, Utah, and Washington. So where is the wolf considered endangered today in the eyes of Interior Secretary Ken Salazar?
Well, they'll be listed in Wyoming.
Okay.
And the reason is Wyoming's regulation is so inadequate and was found to be so by a court. That there's absolutely no way the federal government could turn over management of the wolves to Wyoming.
Uh-huh.
It would blatantly violate a court decision of last summer and the law. In terms of Idaho and Montana, we believe that delisting also violates both the law and the science. But it isn't as black and white in terms of a prior court decision that stands right in the way of this. The problem, though, with the delisting is it's going to allow hunts that could reduce the population to just a few hundred. Somewhere between 300 and 500 wolves could be what we'll have left. And the independent scientists are not telling us that that is sufficient.
Now, will these hunting seasons have limits, or will it simply be a time window and you can shoot as many wolves as you can in that time frame?
Well, they do have some limits, but all we know is what the rules would be for this season that would be next. And it's many, many hundreds, as many as I think it's 1,000 that could be killed. Let me read you the language from the Idaho law. Idaho would allow hunting of wolves whenever they are annoying, disturbing, or worrying livestock or domestic animals.
Oh, well, how do we check with the livestock to see if they're worried?
Well, if they see a wolf, they're probably going to act worried.
Oh, boy. Now we're going to have to put our livestock on antidepressants. I can see the Abilify commercial coming after that.
Yeah, and we'll need, like, psychoanalysts to come in and tell us, well, were they worried or were they just cold?
Well, but to be serious for a moment, that is a very broad kind of set of language there or requirements that makes it pretty easy for somebody to say, well, I was worried, so I killed a wolf.
Mm-hmm. And some of the examples of actions that had happened in the period when the delisting had occurred before a court set it aside in the summer, you had somebody hopping on a snowmobile aggressively following a wolf, and they said it was a defensive act. Because the wolf was looking at the livestock. So I think pretty much what we're saying here is it's going to be open season on the wolf.
And have we heard any statements of glee from the Sarah Palin Hunt Club?
No, I haven't heard those.
Warm up the choppers. Let's go get some wolves. All right, here's Joe calling from Missoula, Montana, listening on AM 930 KMPT. Welcome, Joe. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's nice to talk to you. It's a good subject. I'd just like to say that this is an ongoing controversial subject in Montana, but I think a lot of the people that have to understand that the wolves are going to be here, and we'd like to do the best we can to make sure that it becomes integrated into our state fish, wildlife, and parks programs. One thing I'd have to put my two cents in word for is that Montana Fish Wildlife Parks has done a great job with game management for a lot of species. Sometimes there's too much emphasis on deer and elk hunters, and a lot of deer and elk hunters in the state are obviously anti-wolf because if a wolf kills an elk, that's one less elk for them to hunt.
Mm-hmm.
That having been said, I don't think that's the main issue here. I think one of the things you have to look at in the Montana situation is that the SWP has a great program for managing some of the controversial species. For instance, black bear. We have a liberal hunting with black bear in this state, and also mountain lion. So we're talking about the top-tier predators in this state. Of course, that includes grizzly bears, which we no longer. We used to actually have a hunting season on grizzly bears in parts of the state ages ago, too. So we have a grizzly bear, mountain lion, wolf, and a black bear, and I guess some people would say coyote, too, as some of the major predators.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, obviously, ongoing problems with the expansion of the wolf, with how the state is dealing with livestock, them preying on livestock at this time.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things they do now is they just go in and wipe out the whole pack completely. Of federal hunters or people from helicopters will shoot these wolves, or they'll trap and euthanize them. So I would say I'd like to see this move ahead because I think Montana's done a great job. We have, for instance, mountain lions, and we have an active hunting season for mountain lion, but that is limited to permits only. You have to put your name in, basically apply to a permit system, and only very few permits are given out in a certain area.
Mm-hmm.
I would anticipate a wolf hunt would follow something along those lines, although they do want some flexibility to be able to manage wolves in areas where there is a high level of them killing livestock and something. So they'd say, okay, we will direct the hunters to a certain area where ranchers are losing livestock to wolves and be able to kind of take care of two, no pun intended, but kill two birds with one stone in the sense of the relief for the livestock owner and allowing that hunter to take a wolf. But in Montana, there is not going to be a wide open season where you just go in and buy a wolf license and then...
All right, let me get a comment from Patty Goldman. Patty, what are your thoughts about Jim's comments?
Well, I would make 3 points. One is there are compensation programs if there are any livestock losses due to wolves. And that exists, it's a federal program and there are nonprofit programs that allow that. So that exists already. The second is, when you're talking about black bear and mountain lions, you're talking about species that are not on the endangered species list. And I think that's, then the state, it's up to the state to manage hunts. But it's a different story with grizzly bears and wolves when they're on the endangered species list and their numbers have been critically low over time, and we've got to make sure then that if we're going to take away those extra protections and allow hunts, that we have enough of the conservation ethic worked into the system and that we know we're there. We're at the point where we can take away the protections and then allow hunting again. It's like, you know, both happening in the same stroke of a pen. The third point, in terms of the hunting in Montana, over the 5-year period, leading up to 2006, there were nearly 200 wolves that were killed, and that was because of the predation, as you were talking about. Now, that's not private hunting, but, you know, we start seeing, again, permits on top of that kind of hunting and the other states as well, which would have hundreds as well, then, we're at a precarious point then.
Joe, you want to respond?
Well, she says on top of, I want to give the wildlife managers a little credit here. I think that no one wants to see the wolf go drop to such numbers that they would go back on the endangered list. You know, that's, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in the state of Montana has done a good job of managing animals in that sense. It's in the success story of the wolves in Montana. Part of the wolves in Montana that a lot of people like to argue against is that they were expanding naturally into the northwest part of the state without any transfers or moving from another area as they did in the Idaho and the Yellowstone packs. Those were moved in, captured somewhere else, put in pens for a while, and then allowed to move back into the wild. But in the northwest part of Montana, the wolves were moving in anyway, and it's been a successful story. So I agree with her that we want to leave them at a level that we won't go back to the Endangered Species Act, that they won't drop to that. I just think we can trust the Fish and Wildlife people to do that.
All right, Joe, I appreciate your comments. And,
sure.
Patty, at what level would you... Okay, thank you, Joe. At what level would you say the gray wolf should be entirely delisted from the endangered species list? Is there a number?
Independent scientists give numbers of between 2,000 and 3,000 wolves that are a sustainable population over time. But also they have to have enough genetic exchange between them so that, you know, they're not inbred and going mm-hmm. to be susceptible to disease and
right.
other features of inbreeding. And because you have a reintroduced population in Yellowstone, that is a critical factor, and that is something that was found by the judge in the decision in July that put the wolves back on the endangered species list. So, I mean, I would basically defer to the scientists on that, on what they say you need in terms of a stable population. The other requirement for delisting is that there are adequate protections in place in the states then that would take over management to make sure that you're not just going to have this cycle of delisting and then have the threats that led to listing in the first place recur and then have to go back on the endangered species list. And so that's where you get into the systems of hunts in the three states. And the other requirement is that you have to look at the species, as you said. The wolves don't just stop at the Wyoming border and know not to go into the next state. And so you have to look at that reality.
Well, and there should be a sign at the Wyoming border indicating whether Dick Cheney is in his home state or not.
With gun loaded.
Right, yeah. We'll take a break and return. Patty Goldman with us. She is the Vice President for Litigation at Earth Justice, and their website is earthjustice.org. And I've got room for more calls from Montana, so if you're listening in Missoula and you have an opinion on the delisting of the gray wolf and the management of it in the Big Sky State, I welcome your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Mrs. Sunshine with your KRXA traffic and weather report. In Hollister, Gilroy, there's a traffic accident on Route 156. At Route 25, an ambulance is responding and CHP is on the scene. Continuing in Hollister, Gilroy, an accident at Route 152 at Fraser Lake Road and an accident on Cienega Road just east of Union Road. In Monterey, an accident on southbound Route 1 just north of Reservation Road. CHP is on the scene.
End. I'm Billy Sunshine with your KRXA 540 weather. Well, it's sunshine out there. What do you expect? Sunshine today, sunshine tomorrow. Tonight, it will go down to the 30s, so bundle up. And stick around for Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Your head. You worry too much.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. My guest is Patty Goldman, Vice President for Litigation at Earth Justice. She's based in their Seattle office. And basically, when the decision is made to sue the bastards, that's your job, right, Patty?
Yes.
All right. Here is Rick in Missoula, Montana, listening on KMPT. Welcome, Rick. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Thank you for this time. You know, regarding the delisting issue, it's really sad. I have dogs, and I hike the Bitterroot Range, which is one of the areas that they want to delist. And I have seen the excess, you know, elk carcasses, deer carcasses left when they've just shot for their horns. And to me, that's a horrific waste when we have to realize that we're inundated with hunters here and trophy hunters. And because the wolf packs are doing what they're supposed to do to keep the herds thin, prey on the young and on the infirmed, keeping things in balance, you know, it affects the hunters having a chance to get one of those big racks. And it's really sad. We're facing a similar thing now with the trappers trapping, leaving traps out, and people's dogs getting caught in them when they're hiking. So, you know, there has to be a balance, and I think if we take the time to really look at it realistically, the wolves here do not pose a threat to anybody. Ranchers get paid, farmers get paid for lost livestock, and they get paid more than they would make if they were selling it on the market. So I guess that's my point, and I there's room enough for all of us.
So how do we strike that balance?
How do we strike that balance? Common sense. It's a conversation, but it's a circular conversation. You can't argue with people who view black as white or white as black, and the hunters are set in their mind that they want to go out and hunt these animals. You know, they're magnificent. I've watched wolves hunt a herd and call a herd. In Yellowstone, we would go out there, and they're magnificent. I mean, if people, instead of taking their guns and shooting them, if they'd use photography, if they would be able to appreciate nature at its best, then, you know, we can find some type of a balance. It's not always at the end of a gun.
All right. I appreciate that. And I remember seeing a sign at a national park that said, leave only footprints, take only pictures.
Yeah, well, they'd like to have it the other way.
Patty, do you have a comment on Rick's sense of balance?
Well, I'm just glad you pointed out the role that wolves have played in restoring balance to the natural environment. And it's a very valuable one.
All right. Rick, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Now to Dave, who's also in Montana. Welcome, Dave. You're on the PBC show with Patty Goldman.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Somebody brought up an interesting comment there about the genetics issue between the that are all over Montana and Idaho.
Dave, can you get your cordless phone a little closer to the base? It's staticking up on me.
Sure.
Thanks. So go ahead.
How's that?
Oh, that's even better.
Okay. Yeah, she brought up an interesting point about them not stopping at the border when they go to Wyoming. And what we've noticed is that those packs do a lot of traveling. They do intermingle between those packs, or at least they seem to in these areas. And so from a standpoint of genetics, and if that wasn't enough, I don't think it'd be a problem for the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks to simply trap a few wolves and move them around a little bit. And Joe, the guy that was speaking earlier, I think he's on to something there. I think the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks does do a really good job of managing these animals.
All right. Patty, is that your impression, too, particularly in Montana?
I don't know that I can speak to how they've managed the other hunts. Our point is that you don't start hunting a species that that's been endangered until it's to the point where you know it's fully recovered and can withstand losing its the protections of the Endangered Species Act and being subject to the kind of hunting that could happen now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dave, thanks for checking in from Montana today. Great to hear from you.
I had one more comment.
Okay, go ahead quickly, please.
Yeah, as far as the problem with the stock, what we've noticed, I know a rancher personally that he brought in over 30 head of his yearlings last summer and showed them the fish, wildlife, and parks and could go back and prove that these animals were being chased and harassed by the wolves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had marks up and down the whole sides of them where they'd been worked over.
I see.
And it isn't just a stock depredation problem. They're actually running the weight right off of these animals.
I see.
And
Patty, should that be addressed in some form?
Sure, if that's happening, if that kind of harm is occurring, yeah, I think it should be.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. And you're vice president of marketing for your area, okay? Spread the word about the PBC show in Montana.
Thank you very much, Peter.
All right, good to hear from you. And I have a few more callers, but I'm out of time. Patty Goldman, how would you like to leave this? How should people respond? Would you like people to write to Ken Salazar and say that you think that this is not a workable solution?
Yes, we would like them to write to him and ask him to reconsider and pull back the delisting. We will be challenging it and hope that we'll get to a point where we'll have science dictate when we're to the point of being able to have delisting.
Mm-hmm.
So we would urge you all to do that. And I'd love to have you get him on your show, and then you can ask him the question in the beginning about why he did this.
All right. I'll put out an invitation to Ken Salazar right away.
There you go.
Patty Goldman, great to talk with you again. Thanks for joining me today. She's VP of Litigation in Seattle for Earth Justice, and their website is earthjustice.org. And ladies and gentlemen, I had scheduled a commercial to play at this time, but my CD player just went into spin mode. So you don't get to hear a commercial right now. But I will tell you that you can share a podcast with this or any other portion of the program with a friend or somebody else. The link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and Nick Tanum is on duty today taking your call. We welcome our new listeners now hearing the Peter B. Collins Show 6 to 9 p.m. weeknights on AM 1090, KPTK in Seattle. Great to have you with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Obama has revived the debate over embryonic stem cell research. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports on today's White House ceremony.
President Obama said exactly what this room full of scientists has long waited to hear.
We will lift the ban on federal funding for promising embryonic stem cell research.
Stem cells can be morphed into any cell in the body. Scientists believe by turning them into cells damaged by injury or disease, they can treat, even cure, conditions ranging from diabetes to paralysis. On Capitol Hill today, anti-abortion activists condemned Mr. Obama's decision.
Human embryo-destroying stem cell research is not only unethical, unworkable, and unreliable, it is now demonstrably unnecessary.
Unnecessary, he says, because other types of stem cells that don't require destroying embryos are also effective.
But others say embryonic stem cells hold the most promise, and they're harvested from fertility clinics' leftover embryos that are destined to be destroyed. As the Detroit automakers struggle to survive, members of the United Auto Workers Union have approved contract concessions at Ford. Industry analyst Eric Merkel thinks they're on the right road.
Given what Ford has come out and commented on, and also what the UAW has commented on, I believe that this will help Ford make them more competitive and hopefully allow them to stay independent from taking any kind of government money in any way.
General Motors and Chrysler want government help. They're still negotiating with the UAW. People in Maryville, Illinois are still in shock.
I don't think I've slept a half hour since I got up for church yesterday morning.
Keith Melton and another member of the First Baptist Church wrestled 27-year-old Terry Sedlicek to the floor after he'd shot and killed their pastor in the middle of his sermon. Sedlicek also had a knife and tried to stab himself in the throat.
It appears he was attempting to prevent himself from having to deal with the consequences of what he did.
Melton and Terry Bullard were stabbed in the struggle. Sedlicek is charged with first-degree murder. Authorities say he'd marked Sunday as a death day on a calendar at home. Family members say he'd been mentally unstable since a bout with Lyme disease. Several Chinese vessels allegedly harassed an unarmed U.S. Navy ship in the South China Sea. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says the Impeccable was surveying the area in international waters when the Chinese ships made threatening movements, one coming within 25 feet.
Our embassy in both Beijing and here protested the actions of the Chinese ships that have been reported.
So far, no public response from China. Apparently, there is such a thing as a broken heart. In a long-term study of 63,000 women, researchers found that those who were seriously depressed were more than twice as likely to suffer sudden cardiac death. Another downer on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials lost 80 points to close at 65.47. The Nasdaq down 25 points today. This is CBS News.
Your brake pads. One of those parts you really can't afford to ignore. Right now, Midas is offering up to $50 off brake pads and shoes installed. We'll take a comprehensive look at your entire brake system. And if you need them, install new brake pads or shoes. That's brake pads and shoes up to $50 off. Midas. We're on this road together.
$25 per X on most vehicles ends April 4th at participating Midas.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
People who knew the chimpanzee that attacked a woman in Connecticut say there were warning signs that the ape was getting out of control. It might even have planned the attack. CBS's Jim Taylor has the story of an angry chimp named Santino.
He is being called very canny, the chimpanzee in a Swedish zoo who calmly goes through a morning routine.
We have seen the chimp actually gathering stones to later throw them on visitors.
Matthias Osvath says later in the day the chimp angrily throws those stones at zoo visitors every day.
That implies a special type of consciousness. Allegedly, only humans should have this.
Yeah, the ability to premeditate and then later carry out a violent act. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
When an intruder crashed through his bedroom window and started bouncing on the bed, a man in a suburb of Canberra, Australia, says he thought it was a lunatic ninja. Turned out to be a crazed kangaroo, which he wrestled to the floor, dragged to the door, and then threw it out. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Marcia, what's with the grin?
I got great news at my savings checkup.
Your what?
The savings checkup I took at the Sam's Club Pharmacy. I found amazing prices on my monthly prescriptions, and I discovered that members saved as much as 28% last year on select over-the-counter medications. Plus, Sam's Club takes most insurance, and pharmacy staff are available for questions.
Wow, I've got to check that out. Discover your prescription for terrific value. Visit your Sam's Club Pharmacy Friday and Saturday to take the savings checkup. For more information, go to samsclub.com/yourhealth.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, our 12-month CD has a 2.95% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. And it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to gmacbank.com/radio or call 1-800-490-GMAC. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money's wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart, simple, safe. Member FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're heading into the free speech zone. We take your phone calls, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for all our live listeners right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Obama did some good things today. I'll tell you in a second.
I feel so extraordinary. Something's got a hold on me. I get this feeling, an emotion, a certain sense of liberty. I can't cause an affair. I don't care if I'm here tomorrow.
In recent weeks, I've been mildly critical of the new president for not repudiating the power claimed by George W. Bush to issue presidential signing statements at the time he signs legislation, identifying rationale and exceptions, just inserted out of whole cloth by the president. I was pleased to see that Obama, while not flatly rejecting those authorities, has called for a study of the use of presidential signing statements. Perhaps we'll talk about that more a little bit later this hour. Another important move announced by President Obama today is a lifting of the unilateral ban that was imposed by President George W. Bush in August of 2001. And it was a bizarre Solomon-esque, an attempted Solomon-esque decision, saying that he would not permit any new stem cell lines to be developed from embryos. And this appeared to be pandering or caving in to the religious right, because in my view, there is no connection between anti-abortion issues and this misguided effort to protect the embryo. The embryo is not a life form in itself, and the embryos that have been used for extraction of stem cells were going to be discarded anyway. And some of my Catholic friends spoke up and said, well, but it's a life form. We got to protect every form of life. And I said, well, when was the last time you heard of a final rite, a funeral service, or any kind of a memorial for an embryo? And at that point, they go silent and say, well, gosh, I don't know. Well, the president's announcement returns us to science that is science-based. The order will allow research on countless stem cell lines already in existence, as well as ones yet to be created, and I think this is very good news. For comment, we turn to Marie Sette. She is the chief science officer at the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. CIRM was formed following the passage of Proposition 71 a few years back, which created a $3 billion fund for the research and development in the stem cell arena here in California. And that whole effort really gained its momentum because of the Washington-based efforts to block stem cell research. Marie, welcome to our program today.
Thank you.
Tell me what this means for CIRM.
Well, I would first like to clarify exactly what happened in Washington today, if
okay.
you don't mind.
I don't.
So the presidential ban of George Bush was for federal funding of creation of new cell lines
okay.
from embryos that would otherwise be discarded.
Mm-hmm.
So people who were funded by the NIH and institutions that were funded by the NIH were limited to a small number of lines, you know, with an arbitrary date of
right.
their creation.
Mm-hmm.
People who could use other funds other than federal funding to derive new lines did so. And luckily, and that's where CIRM fit in, because the voters of California felt that this was a really terrible limitation on a science that was so promising. And so we've been very actively funding not only derivation of new lines, but research on lots of the lines that others have established around the world to get stem cell biology moving towards clinical applications.
So, in essence, California really wasn't affected directly by the presidential ban because we had our own stem cell lines and our own revenue stream.
That's exactly right. But as CIRM has become more mature in the last couple of years, we've realized that the job of getting stem cell therapies developed is something we really can't go alone. And we've gone out and collaborated and made collaborations with other countries so that our scientists can work together with other countries. But it'll certainly be nice to be able to work with NIH-funded investigators as well. And this is a big step for regenerative medicine today.
And so, Marie, take a moment here to explain. Imagine that there's a listener who doesn't know what the promise of stem cells offers. Give us a quick sketch of where the research is today and where the promising potential developments lie.
Well, I think there are two big areas where stem cells will make a huge impact. And the one that people seem to understand the most is this idea that stem cells can be grown up in a laboratory and differentiated into any kind of cell, which can then be transplanted into a patient who needs to have that kind of cell replaced because of a disease process.
Mm-hmm.
And human embryonic stem cells have only been approved. So human embryonic stem cell-derived cell therapies have only been approved in the United States for just one clinical trial, and that is the Geron Corporation's approval by the FDA for treatment of acute spinal cord injury. That mm-hmm. just happened a few months ago.
That's right.
But we're seeing a huge amount of preclinical research from our CIRM-funded investigators that suggests that similar applications for clinical trials are very close for a variety of disease processes, for diabetes potentially, for degenerative diseases of the eye, for muscle diseases, for acute liver disease. Many, many applications are coming across our desk, and the research is really at an exciting stage. The other area where stem cells, I think, will pay off, and they may very well pay off in a big way before the cell therapies, is that the stem cells can be used to model diseases in a dish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an enormous resource for clever scientists to screen for novel drug therapies to treat diseases. Animal models are really expensive, and to do high-throughput screening of these gigantic libraries of potential drugs is nearly impossible. But stem cells isolated from patients with certain kinds of diseases are fast becoming a novel platform for screening for new therapies. So we could see some drug therapies and biologic therapies come out of stem cell research independent of using the cells themselves for mm-hmm. transplantation.
And Marie, when you converge the developments in stem cell research with the advances in DNA research, do we have the potential here to understand the way a disease can start in my body because of my unique DNA and the things that I've inherited from my parents? Does this offer us the potential for a kind of personalized medicine, building on what you just talked about, being able to create pharmaceuticals, for example, that would address my very specific constitutional needs?
Absolutely. So we think that these induced pluripotent stem cells that come from a variety of patients will give us an idea of why different patients develop the severity of a disease process that is greater or lesser than other patients with the same diagnosis. And being able to dissect the genetic components of the disease progression in a dish will certainly allow us to customize therapies. And that's something that's really exciting right now in molecular medicine.
And where would you see Marie Chette at the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine? Boy, that's a mouthful. Where do you see the next early breakthroughs? I realize some of this is predictive and you don't have a crystal ball. But where do you see in the research being funded by your entity right now where the most promising breakthroughs might occur and you know, roughly how soon?
Well, we're certainly hearing about applications that suggest that new cell therapies will be available as early as maybe 2 years from now, or certainly the applications to the FDA may be ready by 2 years from now. And I hesitate to give specific diseases because we've just announced a competition or just this, to develop new therapies in a very short timeline. And we are likely to see applications from so many different diseases, including cancer and diseases of the central nervous system, like Parkinson's disease. You know, I think that we received something like 60 planning applications about a year ago for these disease teams, and so we had just about 60 different disease targets. So, you know, some of the first disease targets will depend on how mature the science is. And CIRM hopes that by investing in these preclinical studies and really pushing our investigators down a short timeline, that we can get there faster than anyone else.
All right. And Marie, before you go, a few years back, a guy named Chris Mooney wrote a book called The Republican War on Science. I recall interviewing him, and it was devastating to see on how many different fronts either political interests or sometimes religious values were placed directly as impediments for scientific research. With that behind us now, with this important shift from President Obama today, what do you think will be unleashed? What kinds of gains can we make in terms of catching up on what was lost over the last 8 years?
Well, from the time of the inauguration speech, it's been clear that the president is welcoming scientists back into their rightful role to contribute data and analyze data for policy decisions. And all of us who are heavily into science as our professions have been really saddened that science's role in Washington was so diminished in the last administration. So I think that the stem cell decision, as you point out, is part of a larger philosophical decision to bring scientific and critical thinking back into policy. And that's very welcome.
Certainly is. Well, Marie, thanks for the work you're doing, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's nice to talk with you. That's Marie Chete, C-S-E-T-E, and she's the Chief Science Officer at the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. I'm open for your calls next. You just have to get on the line. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let me know what's on your mind. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Space, the final frontier.
Knowing the Truth, the Ultimate Frontier. Quantum Leap and KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
You're listening to KRXA 540, and I'm Hal Ginsberg with your traffic and weather. We've got a lot of problems to report starting in Santa Cruz. Highway 17 southbound, problems at Pasatiempo Drive, just below the exit there. We've got a collision. And further down at Highway 1, there's a collision. Lots of slow going on 17 as you approach 1. On Highway 1, just south of Davenport Avenue, we've got a bale of hay in the northbound lane. And at the Summit Road at Old Santa Cruz Highway, we've got a collision without injuries to report. In Hollister-Gilroy, Cienega Road, just east of Union Road, we've got a collision. On Highway 156 at 25, we've got a collision. And in Monterey County, Salinas, North Davis Road, just south of 183, that's Reservation Road, we've got a traffic hazard there. Lots of slow going on North Davis Road. Well, enjoy the commute if you're not caught up in any of those problems. It's a beautiful day, low 40s to low 50s in our listening area. Peter B. Collins coming right up on AM 540.
That's me in the corner.
That's me in the corner. That's me in the spot. Like losing my religion.
We're in the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. Lines open for you right now at 888-5 Peter B. 888-573-8372. And a shout out to our new evening listeners in Seattle. We're now on 6 to 9 p.m. on KPTK AM 1090. It's great to have you with us. And this program originated just a few hours ago, which means that in Seattle you can't call in live, but everybody else can right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Seattle, your best way to reach me is email. Just drop me a note, peter at peterbcollins.com. Or if you disagree with something I say, and that's fine, just send it to fullofit at peterbcollins.com. It will reach me. So a wide-ranging study of American religious life discovered that the Roman Catholic population has been shifting out of the Northeast to the Southwest. The percentage of Christians in the nation has declined. And more people than ever say they have no religion at all. 15% of respondents said they had no religion. That's almost double the number in 1990 when it was 8.2%. Northern New England surpassed the Pacific Northwest as the least religious region, with Vermont being the number one agnostic state, 34%. The number of Americans with no religion rose in every state. And it's interesting because this came up last week in our discussion of Proposition 8, the religious-driven anti-human rights ballot measure that is attempting to deny marriage rights to same-sex couples. And a caller asserted that there is only freedom of religion, not freedom from religion in this country. And oh, I disagree. I believe those of us who are unchurched, who may have a spiritual belief, or may not, but in any event, we do not choose to align with a religious organization, belong to a church. And I believe that our rights are every bit as robust as the First Amendment rights protecting people from religious discrimination and from the establishment of a state religion. So I'd like to hear from you on this issue. Churched, unchurched, believer, non-believer. Why do you think these things are shifting? And do you believe that these changes are reflected in the laws of our secular national government and the states, which are also supposed to be secular? Why don't you pray on it and give me a call, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Last hour, we took on another case of a listener whose home situation, the mortgage situation, is glub, 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 underwater. You heard Michael tell the story of how he went to his bank and asked for forbearance. They gave it to him, said, don't worry, you don't have to pay your mortgage for 2 months. And no, it won't hurt your credit rating. Well, he didn't have to make the payments, but yes, it did hurt his credit rating. And here in California, the former Governor Moonbeam, who wants to be governor again, Jerry Brown, currently Attorney General, made a splashy announcement that three individuals have pled guilty to fraud in the loan modification game. They took advantage of hundreds of desperate California homeowners, and a group of them received prison sentences of as much as 6 years in the state pen. And that's really sad, but I guess it's par for the course that as people hit the wall and they face the risk of losing their homes, they get a spam email, they get a phone call, they pick up a flyer at the grocery store, and it says, oh, we can help. And you turn to them for help, and they fleece you of the last few dollars that you have and don't do a thing to help you hold on to your home. Well, good for you, Jerry Brown. That's good news. Time for a break, and then we return to your phone calls. You know the number. It's 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Just because gas prices are low doesn't mean our troubles are over. Mother Nature's getting hot under the collar, our economy is in the toilet, and we're spending billions overseas to fill our tanks. Both kinds. Did you know local people have sold locally made fuel on the Central Coast since 2002? At the Green Station, our biodiesel is ASTM approved and is made from restaurant fryer oil collected right here. Did you know that electric cars were first built in the 1830s? Almost 200 years later, and our government still has plenty of money for oil wars, but not enough to jumpstart our renewable energy economy. 70% of all car trips in America can be done in a neighborhood electric vehicle. This will help save our planet and save you money. Zen neighborhood electric cars are at the Green Station now, and they can be charged by the sun. From local biodiesel to electric cars, bikes, and scooters, renewable transportation and a more peaceful world are just a call away. Call the Green Station today in Santa Cruz at 831-425-9100. Major credit cards are now accepted. That's 831-425-9100. Again, that's 831-425-9100.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco.
Watch out.
Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Thank you, Elvis. For the benefit of our new listeners, evenings in Seattle on AM 1090 KPTK, I'd just like to take a moment here to welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show and let you know a little bit about your humble host. I've been doing this talk radio thing, well, a long time. I had hair when I started, and it's pretty sparse up there now. I am an independent. I'm a progressive. I'm a left-leaning individual. As it turns out, I'm not a member of the Democratic Party. In California, we register as decline to state. That means I'm declining to state whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat. And I prefer this position. Now, as you can deduce, mostly I vote for Democrats when I vote. I have voted for Barack Obama. I voted for one of the two Democratic, alleged Democratic senators from California. You can guess which one. And so I maintain my independence as a way of serving you, the listener. Because in this progressive political talk radio game, there are some people who are really just cheerleaders for the Democratic Party. And there are others, like me, who call them as we see them. And that's what you can expect, and I have praise for President Obama today because he lifted Bush's archaic ban on stem cell research. He announced a study into the use of presidential signing statements to change the will of Congress in legislation as it's signed by the president. And he announced that there will be new regulations on the storage of coal ash by the end of this year, coming from the Environmental Protection Agency. These are all important steps, And the one thing I criticized the administration for today was the delisting of the gray wolf from the endangered species list. And that's what you can expect from this program. When Obama and Democrats do good things, like my puppy Rocky over here, I'll say good boy, and give him a treat. And when they don't, you'll hear about it. That's the deal we have for you. And here's Jim in Eureka calling the Peter B. Collins Show. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Peter B. Collins. I'm a new listener to your show.
Well, thank you for not thanking me for taking your call.
And thank you for taking my call, of course.
Oh, there you go. What's on your mind, Jim?
You mentioned the freedom from religion thing.
Yes.
And, you know, we have these mega churches with 35 to 100,000 people, and they are basically political action committees under a 501c3 tax exemption, acting in a completely political way, and they continue to get away with that. That's how the Republican Party took over America, was through the likes of Pat Robertson and the televangelists who were basically an amazingly effective networking and advertising campaign, free and tax exempt.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see it separated. I want to see them taxed. You know, these are businesses.
Mm-hmm.
As Pat Robertson said on the air, that he's not a televangelist, he's a businessman. Well, then a business like that should be taxed.
Well, I sure agree with you, and I do agree that there was a collusion of the lowest order with the highest benefit to the Republican Party as they pandered to the religious right in this country, packed the courts with judges who would rule in ways sympathetic to the conservatives and religious right in this country. And it's not just the megachurches. The Catholic Church here in California was very active in instructing priests to preach from the pulpit support for the anti-human rights measure, Proposition 8, which narrowly passed in November last year. And they were in collusion with Mormons and with evangelical Christians. And in some, they crossed the line of separation between church and state. And I believe that separate from our Supreme Court ruling on the validity of the ballot measure itself, that we need an investigation into the way religious groups participated in that election, because I am persuaded that some of them probably violated the IRS rules on their tax-exempt status by electioneering and lobbying for this ballot measure and using religious dollars, religious premises that are tax-exempt for that purpose.
Amen, brother. And when the Mormon Church can put in millions of bucks into political campaigns out of state, they're acting directly politically.
Well, and what's interesting is that they went to court and tried to block release of the information on who the donors were, saying that, oh, they might be unfairly targeted by angry gay people. And I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for them. If they took the stand and put up the money and put themselves on the line to cowardly try to say that their identity should be shielded, because a gay man or woman might say nasty things to them, is just ridiculous. There's no indication that there's been any physical or criminal threat that came from this. And so it's just preposterous that they think they're so special that they should be allowed to cross the line between church and state and then run back behind the church line and hide behind it.
And act in secret. This has been the reason we are in the position we are in. So much has been done in secret. These churches have been acting totally outside their charters. The Catholic Church, in one instance, told people that they shouldn't get communion if they were planning to vote Democratic.
That's right. Well, I'm really glad you called, Jim. Good to have you listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, thank you. Good job. Keep it up.
All right, sure will. That's Jim and Eureka listening on KGOE. Now to Wayne and Ben Lohman listening on KRXA. Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Peter. How are you today?
Pretty good, thanks.
I listened to your introduction a little while ago, and it's surprising. You know, I do not have quite a bit in common. But I'd like to compliment you on your show in that, you know, I've heard conservatives call in, and you give them every bit as much time to air their views as anyone else, and I really appreciate that. It's kind of a fresh air.
Well, I'm happy to do it, Wayne, and it's because I'm so old that I started in broadcasting before we were segregated into blue and red radio ghettos. And I believe that we all benefit from sharing our views and having lively discussions and disagreements that don't have to become hateful or angry or riddled with name-calling.
Well, then we have that part in common, too. I'm getting up in years also. But the reason I called, listening to basically the complaints on the conservative side for the stem cell research, and it seems like pretty much their main complaint reasoning is that the stem cell research could lead to abortion, basically just to obtain stem cells, and it could lead to other things. And a lot of their complaints about liberal ideas are based on the same thing. Gun control, if you register guns or you have a training, well, that could lead to them taking your guns away. Mm-hmm. And legalizing marijuana, well, that could lead to other drugs. But when it comes to the stem cell or to other issues like taking away our First Amendment rights and our constitutional rights, there's plenty of examples where they actually did take away freedom.
And oh, you bet, yeah. No, the inconsistency and hypocrisy of the Republicans in denying states' rights when it comes to end-of-life issues and, assisted suicide, when it comes to medical use of marijuana, I mean, it's just very clear that they are hypocritical and they adopt whatever position they think will give them the most benefit at a given time. Thanks a lot for your call today, Wayne. Good to talk to you. And I want to jump because Governor Siegelman is available right now, and I want to get his comments. Don Siegelman is the former governor of Alabama. He was railroaded into federal prison behind a case that I believe was driven by Karl Rove and some friends of Karl Rove, including Laura Canary, who's married to Bill Canary, a former political consulting partner of Karl Rove. And I believe there was collusion in not one but two trials, the second of which resulted in a conviction of Governor Siegelman. Governor, welcome back to the program today.
Hey, Peter B. Collins, I'm glad to be with you. Thank you. Thanks for letting me come on.
Well, you bet. I wanted to get your first-person reaction here to the court ruling that came out of the 11th U.S. Circuit in Atlanta. This was something we've been waiting for since you went to present some briefings and oral arguments back in December. And the outcome here is disappointing because...
If we had known the outcome, we wouldn't have been so excited and so anxious for the ruling, I don't think.
I guess not. So there were a couple of charges thrown out. Two of the seven charges against you were tossed out by this appeals court, but they upheld the key bribery, conspiracy, and obstruction counts that really are at the core of your case, and they have ordered you to be resentenced. Now, while the resentencing might be in your favor, well, they'll say you've suffered enough time served. Go and be a...
No, not this judge. Not this judge. No, he's not going to... He is not going to show any sympathy whatsoever. Mm. It'll be... He'll send me back to prison without stopping. They'll collect $200, go straight to jail.
Yeah.
But, I want your listeners to remember that this, I was convicted of something that the New York Times has said repeatedly has never been a crime in America. 54 former state attorneys generals, both Democrats and Republicans from around the country, have weighed in with the 11th Circuit and said, if this is a crime, then... we better start building a lot more prisons because presidents appoint contributors every day. I was convicted of bribery for appointing a contributor, reappointing a contributor to the same board he had served on through three previous governors. I was the fourth governor to appoint this guy to the same board.
Right, and this is Richard Scrushy, who was the CEO of Health South.
Right.
And the same court reviewed his conviction and made no changes.
Right, and the government made no allegations that I personally benefited a single penny from this. The money went to a foundation to help convince the people of Alabama that that we should have a state lottery so our kids could go to college for free. But the lottery attracted the attention of Jack Abramoff, who put $13 million into my opponent's campaigns beginning in 1998, 99, 2002 to defeat me. My election in 2002 was reportedly stolen by two people. One was Jack Abramoff's partner, a guy named Dan Gans, or employee rather, and Karl Rove's partner, a woman named Kitty McCullough, who later changed her name to Kelly Kimbrough after she was after she married. But the your listeners might also want to know that one of the questions I get is, why would Karl Rove give a rip about the governor of Alabama? Well, after 1992, he and my husband, the husband of my prosecutor, left the Bush Quayle campaign that they had just finished partnering in, and they left Texas and came to Alabama. They both married girls from Alabama, and Karl Rove built his home on the Gulf Coast, and they started running campaigns out of Alabama. That's when I ran afoul of Karl Rove and Bill Canary, the husband of my prosecutor. But the investigation was started by Karl Rove's client, and then it was kicked into high gear by Bill Canary's wife. Again, Bill Canary's 25-year business partner and friend, closest friend of Karl Rove's in Alabama. I was brought to trial 1 month before the Democratic primary. But let me say this. We're in this fight. We're going to win the legal battle eventually. It'll make it take going to the U.S. Supreme Court. But we will win this fight. But it's more important that Congress dig in and find the truth of who hijacked the Department of Justice. And we know that Karl Rove's fingerprints are on it. We've got sworn testimony that he was involved in my case. We've got testimony and documentary evidence that he was involved in the firing of 9 Republicans who wouldn't play political ball with their office. So my case is the flip side of the investigation into the firings of the Republican U.S. attorneys. The other important point, I know I'm doing a lot of talking and not much listening.
I'm doing a lot of listening. You go ahead, Governor.
But Peter, the other important point that I made earlier, if this case stands, if this ruling stands, then no elected official could not safely appoint a contributor or vote in favor of a measure that one of your contributors also favored without risking being targeted by an opposing party's prosecutor who could bring you to trial on bribery or extortion and possibly get a conviction. Now, what's so puzzling about this case is that the Supreme Court has said that you had to have an explicit quid pro quo if it involved a campaign contribution. In this ruling, the judges said, yeah, it has to be explicit, but it can be made up in the minds of the jurors once they hear the evidence. Even though there is no explicit quid pro quo, even though there is no explicit agreement to trade a contribution for an appointment, the jury can infer that from what they've heard on the stand. Well, that is a very, I mean, nobody, you're going to have to appoint your people who didn't contribute to your campaign. It's just going to turn politics on its head.
And Governor, I just have a minute, but let me ask you to comment on the 3-judge panel rejecting any claim of prosecutorial misconduct. I mean, it's very clear.
We haven't. You're right. It is clear, Peter. Now we have not. See, everything that people have read about Karl Rove and the prosecutorial misconduct by prosecutor's husband being the campaign manager for my opponent, or all of this stuff has come out after the trial. So we have not yet had an opportunity to present any of that in court.
Okay. Because I was frankly pissed that the Washington Post, in a brief article, closed it by saying career federal prosecutors who handled the case have emphatically denied the accusation of misconduct.
Well, yeah, they also said that they had the prosecutors said that she had recused herself when in fact she did not. We've got testimony from DOJ employees, from Republicans who worked in opposition to me, linking Karl Rove and my prosecutor to prosecutorial misconduct and selective prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Time Magazine exposed and 60 Minutes also discussed in one of their programs. So we're going to get this period of time. But the most important thing is Eric Holder needs to fire these remaining Republican political operatives that were appointed by Karl Rove. Let's appoint some good, straightforward prosecutors. Let's dig in. Let's let Congress dig in and find the truth about Karl Rove's involvement in using the Department of Justice as a political weapon. Our democracy has been threatened. Our civil rights have been diminished. We need to get to the bottom of it, and we need to make sure that this kind of behavior does not happen in the future.
Governor, two things are clear. You're going to keep fighting, and you're going to need more money. So if people can go to donsiegelman.com, no amount is too small. See if you can help the governor defray his very large legal expenses. Don Siegelman, we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter B. Collins.
Nice to talk with you, Governor. We'll take a break and return. If you're on the line, stay there. And if you want to, get there. 888-5 Peter B.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Afternoon, this is Hal with your KRXA 540 traffic. Things are looking a little better out there, but Highway 17 still slow going southbound with collisions at the intersection of Pasatiempo Drive and as you enter Highway 1 on 17. Also, Highway 9 just north of Pleasant Way in Santa Cruz County is slowing due to a hazard. Finally, in Hollister-Gilroy, the 156-25 intersection is slow due to a collision with minor injuries. Otherwise, roads are looking good, at least in Monterey County, and it's a beautiful day here on the Central Coast, a beautiful late winter with the temperatures ranging from the low 40s in Watsonville to high of 54 in Carmel. Enjoy Peter B. Collins coming right up on AM 540. This Tuesday, March 10th, Cynthia McKinney, the 2008 Green Party candidate for president, will be speaking at Monterey Peninsula College. Cynthia McKinney was the first black congresswoman elected in Georgia. She has fought for many progressive issues in Congress, including an end to corporate dominance, a reduction in military budgets, and in favor of voters' rights, the environment, and economic justice. Cynthia McKinney took on the corrupt Bush administration when others in Congress were complacent. She has Green Party values and follows in the footsteps of Ralph Nader and David Cobb. Hear Cynthia McKinney speak at 1 p.m. March 10th at Monterey Peninsula College, lecture forum number 103. For more information, contact Julie Osborne at 831-646-4192. That's 646-4192. Again, Cynthia McKinney, 1 p.m., Monterey Peninsula College, Tuesday, March 10th. Call 646-4192.
The most fun place to shop on the Central Coast just got even more fun. Thinker Toys is celebrating its 40th anniversary with a 40% off sale. That's right. On the third Sunday of every month from March 15th through October 17th, you'll get 40% off all the hot new games, books, and toys that only Thinker Toys carries. They're open daily. Your local toy store, Thinker Toys, has two great stores on the Monterey Peninsula, in the Del Monte Center and downtown Carmel at the corner of San Carlos and 7th.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 4 minutes in front of the hour. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. I get tons of comments from listeners. I always appreciate it, pro or con. But not everybody has computers and access to the Internet. It's a series of tubes, you know, says Senator Stevens. And so my snail mail address is simple. It's Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. And I will repeat that. It's P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, and the zip code is 94942. And here's a beautifully handwritten note from Day in Arcata. I'd like to comment on your and Tom Hartman's use of the word greed to describe the hoggish behavior of the corporate crime syndicate that's crippled our country. In the spirit of George Lakoff, I would suggest that the word greed smacks of Sunday school lectures on sin. It carries the connotation of children being lectured by adults, spoilsport adults. The term money addiction would frame the behavior more effectively. Addiction terminology conjures up the image of someone mindlessly out of control, gobbling more and more of the addictive substance while trashing the lives of their children and other family members. Well, Day, you make a good point. I will try to modify my vocabulary accordingly. It's not greed. It is money addiction, and it's a big problem out there. Anthony in Eureka is holding. Anthony, you're on the air. Oh, turn that radio down, Anthony. That's the first rule of talk radio. And put the Red Bull down, too.
That better, P2B friend.
Yeah, get closer to the phone, though, so we can hear you. Go right ahead. You got 1 minute.
Christian Nation by Sam Harris, 2006.
Okay.
P2B, it is widely known, widely accepted, let's be honest, by psychiatrists and other scientists that theocrats are cognitively dissonant and delusional. Theocrats are short-sighted and suicidal, and especially the way they slavishly abused women. The Mormons, the Muslims, the Southern Baptists, and the Catholics, just to name a few.
All right, Anthony, I'm out of time here. I appreciate your comments. I would say that those are very broad brushes. Not every Catholic, not every Mormon believes that way. But your point has some value. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We'll be back at you same time, same great facilities tomorrow. Hope you'll join me there.
To you. Keep smiling until...
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. In August 2001, President George W. Bush cited moral concerns when he restricted federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Today, President Barack Obama came to a different conclusion.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. I believe we have been given the capacity and will to pursue this research, and the humanity and conscience to do so responsibly.
Republican Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina believes it's irresponsible.
Seems to be opening up a Pandora's box to begin the destruction of unborn human beings.
The harvesting of stem cells destroys the embryo, but supporters of this research point to the promise it holds for people living with disease and injury. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes has been following one case.
When we first met Emma Clayton, she was 14 years old and had been battling type 1 diabetes half her life.
I have to give myself insulin for every single piece of food I put in my mouth.
3 years later, she's watching the news that she says could bring a cure.
There were times where I thought that I would have to live with this for my whole life, but today I feel for one of the first times in my life that just may change.
It's a bittersweet moment for Emma's parents, who feel 8 years have been wasted.
Science in this country is back, and we are very hopeful.
China now claims a U.S. Navy vessel was conducting illegal surveying activities in the South China Sea. The ship, the USNS Impeccable, was harassed by several Chinese vessels. CBS News correspondent David Martin says at least one of them came dangerously close.
This had been building for several days. Impeccable had been operating in that area, and just the day before, a Chinese ship had approached the Impeccable and told it on its bridge-to-bridge radio that it had better leave the area or suffer the consequences.
At one point, the unarmed Impeccable used its fire hoses to repel the Chinese, who stripped to their underwear and kept coming, only turning away when they were within 25 feet. The Obama administration says the Impeccable was conducting ocean surveys in international waters. The Chinese say it was in China's special economic zone. American shoppers kept their credit cards in their wallets over the holidays. A report today says cardholders added less than 2% of